Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the mansion shit. Let's go hook him up!
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much. Just here ready to do the show while I'm also waiting to make a really quick drug deal with somebody with her either fucking ass up.
And we wonder why we don't get sponsored for the show.
Yeah. We have people that getting out our door to sponsor our show. So I got to say, I haven't heard from you in like 2 weeks, or I guess almost 2 weeks. So I haven't heard from you all during WrestleMania weekend. So why don't you tell me what you thought of WrestleMania?
I thought it was a great show. I mean, it was not at the level of past ones, I think. I don't know, something taking the Money in the Bank out of it kind of lessened the show for me, I guess. I think something was missing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You didn't have that extra match that was just, like, you know, really good.
Yeah, it was like every year you were guaranteed that Money in the Bank ladder match, so you're at least going to have one good match on the show. So
yeah. Now, I got to ask you because, you know, as soon as we got out of there and made our way back to the hotel, or even before then, I was talking to Brian just outside of the show, and he's telling me how the feedback, for the most part, was negative, and a lot of people didn't like it. And one of the big complaints was that it didn't come off well on TV. How do you feel the pacing and, like, as far as the skits and timing and everything came off to you?
I felt that the match order should have been different. I think you should have ended with Taker and Triple H. I mean, even with The Rock, I mean, the Miz Cena thing, even with The Rock, it still came kind of feeling to me like it was like Orton and Triple H from 2 years ago, you know, when they had the last match.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of ended on a bad note. And it didn't really end on a bad note because you had The Rock there and the end was pretty exciting. But still, it felt like it should have ended with the Undertaker match. And as far as the pacing of it, I think some things should have been different. I think that they maybe should have moved up the world title match to a few matches later in the show. I wasn't mad that it was like, oh my God, it's a world title match, it's on first, it's like they're burying everybody. I wasn't like that. I just thought it would be more appropriate to have it, you know, just a little bit later in the show since it was kind of a big match, and maybe start off with like Orton and Punk or something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, we actually are joined by our second co-host, who, if you don't know by now, is having a birthday, and he just turned 50 years old. What's going on, Craig?
How dare you?
Oh, you're 50?
Yeah. Yeah, 50 today.
Doesn't look a day over 60.
Yeah.
Really, I figured you'd be turning 40.
Almost.
You're supposed to thank me when I say that stuff.
I'm almost 40, but I cut my mullet from the 80s, that's for sure.
Oh, okay.
And
well, I still got mine, and mine's sticking around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and while we're talking about birthdays, thanks everybody for wishing me a happy birthday. The only thing was, I've got my new iPhone here, and it's hooked up to Facebook. So every time somebody posted on my wall,
right,
it was like I was trying to sleep, and it was like a ding kept going off, and it was the worst thing in the world because it's that general manager ding that goes off. So I was like in a like a Monday Night Raw nightmare for like 3 or 4 hours trying to sleep. So, but thanks to everybody that wished me happy birthday Friday.
Yeah,
Sorry.
Oh, nothing much, man. I'm just actually getting ready to go to a show here in about 45 minutes or so. So I'm pretty stoked about that. Get to see one of my favorite guitar players tonight. So, yeah, on my birthday nonetheless. It's all good.
So let me guess. Is somebody from has something to do with Pearl Jam?
As a matter of fact, it does.
Uh-huh. And luckily
so, yeah,
for you, I guess you live in that area because I can imagine you being way down here or way away from the Pearl Jam concerts, man. I think you'd go insane.
Well, they do tour, you know. So.
Well, that is true. But sure, go ahead and finish talking about what you were talking about on WrestleMania as far as other parts of the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they should have started off like with maybe Randy Orton and CM Punk first. Instead of the world title match, I was like I was saying, I'm not one that flips out because, oh, the world title's first. Title doesn't mean anything. Well, bottom line is it's a secondary title. It doesn't really matter. Plus, it's WrestleMania. It doesn't matter if you're the first match on the show or not. But I would have just put it, like, a little bit later in the show. And I thought that they had a good buffer match with the Snooki match because they excited me a lot more than I thought it would with the two little spots that Snooki hit, I thought were pretty damn impressive. So, and
she literally turned into the Great Muda before our eyes.
The only thing I'll say is, watching on TV, is The Rock went a little bit long in the opening.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Because it was like 15 minutes before we got the first match in the ring.
I don't know. It didn't seem like it took that long. I mean, it seemed like he was out there for a while, but it didn't seem like it was taking that long when we were there live.
It just came off a little bit long to me. And when it takes about 15 minutes to get the first match in there, that's a little long. So.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, as I am, we're doing kind of a call-in show tonight. So if you're out there in radio land, give us a call tonight and share us. Share with us your stories about WrestleMania, whether you went or you watched it on the tube. Call us at 347-850-8933. That is 347-850-8933. And give us your thoughts, whether you watched it on the tube or you got to go down for a Mania this weekend.
If we get a lot of bad callers, it's going to be your fault, Craig.
Or if
you're
one of the communists that thought Triple H and Undertaker sucked, call in and tell us why.
Well, just make sure you hang up on people when they start being stupid.
You know, I haven't really gone through any of those threads about how, like, the people who are bitching about Hunter and Undertaker. What exactly is their main fucking complaint about this match?
It was just
I leaned over to Brian about, about 15 minutes in, and I said, this has the exact same pacing as the last two Shawn Michaels matches with Undertaker from the last two WrestleManias. So I can understand why people are complaining. But with that said, I don't know how it came across on TV, but I thought it was right up there with those two matches.
I thought it was a little bit better than last year's match with Shawn and Undertaker, to be honest with you.
I
still
think
the first Undertaker match was the best.
I agree. I mean, I liked it. I got it. The first Undertaker Shawn was better. Just a little bit, and this one is just right on par with the second one, just slightly above it.
Yeah, I guess I would go with that as well. Ed, we have
go
a
ahead,
caller.
Sir. Oh, we do? Oh, my God, we do have a caller. Caller calling from area code 619. Oh, I know, it's Rey Mysterio. He's finally called in.
Oh, that joke never gets old. Hey, first off,
Alex.
My wife and I like to say happy birthday to Craig.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor shows were incredible. Those were probably two of the best wrestling shows I went to in a while, at least. And WrestleMania was awesome, and it was a great, great weekend. Like I posted a couple different places, probably one of the best weekends of my life. I mean, I had a good time seeing everybody, and I think a good time was had by all. So everyone needs to head down to Miami, and we can make it bigger.
I totally agree. Those ROH shows were, gosh, I would say probably some of the top.
I need you to take over the show for a minute, please. I got to do something.
Me? Okay. So, what is he doing?
He's purchasing something that that the cops won't be happy about.
Anyway, those two ROH shows probably one of the top shows I've ever seen live. It was just phenomenal. The second show, not as good. What in the world is he doing?
No. Is he unwrapping whatever his package is on the air? I don't know what he's doing. He has mute your phone. Jesus.
He's a professional, everybody.
Well, you know what, Craig? I had said to Stacy Cordain in the lobby, I said, do the guys know they're wrestling tomorrow after night one? Because, I mean, I had never seen guys go out there and wrestle so hard, and then came back to wrestle the next night. It's a testament to these guys because they normally do double shots whenever they go out. They'll do, like, a Dayton in Chicago or, like, a Richmond in New York or Richmond in Charlotte. But, I mean, these guys were wrestling in the same place, back-to-back nights. And then if you bought the iPay-per-view for $20, I mean, you got $20, and that's what you got. I mean, you got two incredible shows back-to-back, and then live WrestleMania was incredible. I mean, apparently a lot of feedback was negative, but, I mean, I had a great, great time. And then I think Chris said it earlier, Money in the Bank, I think, would really put WrestleMania over the top. I think not having the Money in the Bank this year really, really affected the show, so.
I would at least maybe put on some sort of other ladder match in there, maybe.
Some gimmick match.
I don't know. Yeah, a gimmick match or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't like the fact that they put Edge and Alberto on first. As you were saying, Randy Orton and Punk would have been a fine substitute for that. I just have a problem with them putting the title matches on as Kurt and Jericho. I don't get that.
Yeah, but
especially when it's SmackDown.
Well, when there's two little titles, you know, one of them's got to come before the other one. I mean, one of them has to be represented.
Not on first, though.
I think people would remember the Edge match a little bit more if it was later on in the show.
Exactly.
And then Alberto really came through. I mean, the WrestleMania pressure of working that big of a show, and it was the biggest show Alberto's ever worked. You know, in the American style, which, I mean, he's not the most proficient American-style grappler I've ever seen in my life, but I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him to come into Mania, and if he would have bombed, you know, that could have killed a lot of things. And potentially he didn't win the title, because I thought it was a given he was winning the title at Mania.
I think this is one of the ones where they know who's winning, so we're going to swerve them.
Potentially, or Vince might wanted to see how Alberto would have done under the pressure. And now that he's passed the test, maybe he's going to get an Extreme Rules in the ladder match, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to put a cast in that. That was a test. But, he came. I like that match. I highly enjoyed the match. But my only complaint would be, what was the point of the end of the match? Because it's not like they did any real damage to that car. It's not like they blew it up or set it on fire. I mean, they kind of drug
it
out.
They came off as assholes.
He's got a different car every week.
He destroyed his car.
He has a different car every week, so.
Yeah.
He totally came off like a heel, for sure.
And then, Chris, have you seen the Ring of Honor pay-per-views yet? And have you been told about Crazy Girl?
No, who's Crazy Girl?
Okay, well, I think this tale needs to. Okay, basically, there was this Crazy Girl who was standing in the front row of the Ring of Honor show, not by seats, but by the aisleway. And she was very active. I didn't notice her until the women's tag on the first night. And then
She looked like she was 15.
Me and Doc G thought she was like in her 20s, but everyone who got up close to her said she looked real young. And she was with a small child. But she was just yelling a lot. And I couldn't really tell who she was yelling for. And then she kept touching Sarah Del Rey like you would caress, I don't know, like a woman's back or something, just very slow. And It was.
She was looking. She was looking at Sarah Del Rey like a fat kid looks at cake.
Like how Ed was looking at Sarah Del Rey. That's how she was looking at her.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And hey, so,
at least I wasn't trying to get over the railing like that little girl was. But the thing is, here's the thing, because somebody told me, maybe it was Brian, I don't know, but somebody said that little girl is always at the impact and at the impact tapings, and she does the same thing. Has anyone noticed her on impact?
Yes,
that's
you
what
can
she
find
told
her
Claudio.
On, you can find her on Facebook at the TNA Scream Girl. So if you go to Facebook and type in TNA Scream Girl, you will find this broad. And she was so ungodly annoying. I kept yelling at her to shut up, go away. I mean, she was like right in front of us, just off to the side. And it just got infuriating after a while.
She was loud. She had some fucking loud ass. I thought it was the fucking Asian girls that were screaming at first. And I'm like, what the fuck?
The
like,
Asian girls
the
who did not. The Asian girls did not stop smiling the entire match. Like it was, they had good matches, but they couldn't stop smiling. It was kind of weird.
I thought
when
the
Hall of Fame. She did the Hall of Fame. She got kicked out.
Who got kicked out?
I said if she was at the Hall of Fame, she got kicked out.
Oh.
Yeah, she totally would have.
One thing about the Asian girl, when she did the job on the second show. She was laying there after the exploder suplex on her head. She opens her eyes. She smiles. She winks at Daisy and the other girl and then goes back to selling.
Ed, you know we ate dinner with them, right?
Yeah, I know that. I don't want to talk about that shit because fucking Brian's an asshole and he can't pass fucking simple information over a telephone.
Thank you, Alex, for opening the can of worms.
It wasn't
about
not being able
to get you too, Alex. Damn. Even Alex
Why
is
he so upset about not being able to eat dinner with other women? Doesn't he have a woman back home that he needs to be focusing on?
Well, also, my good friend Claudio Castagnoli was there, and I didn't get
good
to see him. Doc Film only had to pass text rhythm throughout the whole weekend.
Dave Legato was there. It was a quite the eclectic bunch of guys there. I was there. Greg was there.
Nobody cares about Craig.
I think Craig was sitting right next to Claudio and the Japanese women, if I remember.
Yeah, I could see, Craig right next to Claudio.
Actually, I was sitting next to Lagana, and we were we got to chat the whole time. The Kings. The Dusty Rhodes line about I've had pork and beans and I've dined with kings and queens. Well, I'm halfway there. I just got to dine with a queen. But,
you were
having
lunch with Brian. He was right there.
I got to eat with the Kings of Wrestling, Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero. Dave Prazak was there. Dave Lagana was there. And all the girls from S-Ovation were there. And we had a crew down at the other end of the table as well. And
Matt Cleary,
yeah,
the French guy, Cell.
Yes. Cillian was there.
Uh-huh.
And...
I hope we get a Chris Hero interview out of all this, or I'm going to be very upset.
I'm working on it. I actually talked with Lagana today, so we'll see what happens.
Cool. Well, actually, we're getting another caller. Did you want to stick around, Alex? Or
no? Thanks for having me on, brother. I don't want to stay on too long. I don't want to wear out my welcome. See you guys next year, if not sooner.
Yeah.
All
see you, man.
Talk to you later, Alex. All right, we're going to go to the next caller, and as soon as Alex got off, somebody else shipped on the line. So let's go to the caller who was on first. Caller area code 713 is this.
Eddie, it's Matt Cleary. How you doing?
Hey, what's
Matt.
Going on? How's happening?
Speaking of people
I'm not very happy with at the moment, what's going on, Matt?
Yeah, thanks, Alex, for bringing up that sore subject again. I appreciate that, Alex. Good job, man.
I never would have known about it if it wasn't for Matt.
That's true, but somebody might have put him up to it. I don't want to mention any names.
We could always job at Brian, I guess. Ed doesn't like Brian anyway. So it's okay.
Yeah, he's not here, so let's blame him.
Yeah, we'll blame Brian. That's who did it. The wee fella's fault.
So Matt.
I know. Yes, sir.
I was just going to ask you, what were your thoughts on the weekend?
Well, my thoughts on the weekend are secondary to my thoughts on this, today, which is your fabulous birthday, and Alex beat me to that, but I wanted to wish you a happy birthday, sir. Yes.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. The thoughts overall, I mean, I had a grand time. I preferred it to Phoenix. I don't know why exactly, but I did. I thought Mania. Maybe I don't get what the TV watching public, if you will, saw. But I just had a grand time watching Mania. I popped like a little kid for all the stuff that was you were supposed to pop for.
I like the comedy.
I don't care. I like the comedy. Santino's Cobra. You know, I popped for that and Whitney Stein. But Mania was grand. I love the building. You know, I love getting in and out of the building. That was cool, too. The actual best wrestling of the weekend, obviously, was the ROH shows. That building was great. I really like Center Stage as much as a dive. That was good times. Drinking a Guinness was...
except for that time where Craig almost got us all thrown out.
I did not get us all thrown out. I almost got me thrown out. Because they didn't allow cameras, and I thought I could, you know, well, maybe if I got this one in, I'd be the exception to the rule. Well, I was the exception to the rule for about three matches, and then me and my camera got thrown out, and then I was allowed back in. So,
what was funny, though? I was taking pictures with my cell phone the whole time. They saw me using my cell phone. It's like they didn't care if it was your cell phone. It's just going to be a regular camera. I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the one getting that on Facebook quicker than you could with your camera.
Yeah, and to be honest, I only got about maybe four really good shots that I was able to send to Brian, so it really didn't matter. But, yeah, I got tossed, and then, like I said, I was allowed back in, but my camera had to stay in the car.
you didn't tell them, hey, I'm with Lagana and Prazak?
No, I don't name drop like some people.
You got to take advantage.
Well, I mean, the next day at the Sunday afternoon Dragon Gate show, I'm taking photos with, you know, a fairly prosumer camera all afternoon long, and they don't give a crap.
Right.
I got a bunch of good photos for Dragon Gate, but maybe it was the building more so than actually ROH themselves.
I heard straight from Lagana's mouth. He said, I'm sorry about that. That's Kerry's call.
Wow.
So there you go.
What was Center Stage like?
It was a dump. It was a dump until you got in there. And there was this fog or smoke. It looked like it was one of the old bar shows. You know what I mean? You could just see the air's real heavy, and the seats, as Matt pointed out to me, were absolutely disgusting. It looks like there was gum or bodily fluid smeared all over them.
Thing on the floor where it kind of made it hard to where you couldn't really step back if somebody was trying to walk through the lane, through the aisle. That was kind of a little pain in the ass.
God is my witness. Ed sat down in his chair, and the whole back popped off and clanged on the floor. It was unbelievable.
It wasn't because Ed's big.
It was just that place was a dive, but it was fabulous.
That. It was also situated next to a haunted house. That was fantastic.
There were these two rundown houses that were just decrepit and falling down, and people had come and wrote graffiti all over the place, and it was really spooky, and yeah, it could have been 200 houses right next door to the place.
A Saw movie or a Scream movie could have been shot there and saved so much money on budget. It wouldn't even be funny because they could have just moved right in.
Absolutely.
But Center Stage was so good. It was literally one of those smoky halls that Vince is so proud of taking wrestling out of. This was one of those places. It looked nothing like it did back in the day for Saturday night. There was a fog. It was great.
Mm-hmm. They're taking all the Sting and Steiner's pictures down off the ceiling.
off the walls and stuff?
I did not see any. Yes, they cleaned the place up by removing a couple of posters.
There was no postmodernism, robots moving the graphics in and out. It was nothing. It was dark and it was dingy, but it was such a great place to watch wrestling. And by a Guinness, I'll have everybody know. I don't remember which Briscoe it was, but I bought him a Guinness post-match.
It was Mark.
Mark, yes. No teeth, that's right. My wife commented, who's the dude that needs to visit the dentist immediately? But actually, I've since watched the Colt Cabana Road Diary, and he has false teeth that he wears most times. He just pops them in and out for wrestling, I guess. But I tried to go to the bathroom that first night and missed out on the bathroom. It's kind of funny, the exact opposite of any other concert you'll ever go to, where the women are stood, miles deep, and the men just walk into the restroom is no worse. A Ring of Honor wrestling show, there are like six women, so they get that, and we all have to stand out and wait. So I tried to get to the bathroom, didn't manage that, came back, figured I'd just, I'll get me a beer instead, and there was Mark Briscoe at the bar trying to order something alcoholic quickly after his match, and I got him a Guinness, so that was good times. So I enjoyed that.
And as I was getting off the plane, we ran into Awesome Kong. Well, we didn't run into her, but Matt pointed her out. And also, on the way home, Matt ran into another celeb.
Sergeant Slaughter, Ten Hung. He told that TSA dude exactly where to go when they were checking him over. Although, I take that back. They went gaga over him. I was probably 10 people back in the security line and figured there was no way I was going to catch up with him. That they kept him and they were talking to him so long that I got through security. I helped some single mother help put her stroller on the conveyor belt and everything, and still managed to get up with the Sarge. I heard people talk about the Great Kabuki and various other folk. The TSA people were talking about wrestling, and just managed to snag Sarge, who I will tell you was completely living in the gimmick because he had a camo hand luggage. I was very happy to see that. but yeah, he was just busy putting his Rolex and his dog tags back on, and I snagged a photo with him. So that was kind of cool.
Did he call anybody a maggot?
He didn't have to tell anybody that we were a maggot. They all treated him with the respect he deserved, and he went straight on through the security line. I also managed to during the whichever the match was, I decided to go to the bathroom. Again, my bathroom breaks this weekend, past weekend, were never successful. But I walked by a guy who looked just like Macaulay Culkin. And I actually texted my wife saying, I think Macaulay Culkin's here. And she was like, grab a picture. So when I saw there was a line at the door for the bathroom, for the men's bathroom, I was like, screw it, I'll go get me a beer. And he was right there in front of me, actually in the pizza beer line. And there was some woman, and she was like, I know who you are. And he was like, he was so totally downplaying it. And I know why now, but he was so totally downplaying it. And she's like, no, I know who you are. It's my stupid human trick that I know, old movie stars. And she took a photo with him, and he got his pizza repaid. I got my water. First time I didn't drink Guinness all night because they had shut down the alcohol sales. I was very disappointed. And I got my water, and I caught up with him. I was like, I never actually said his name. So I was like, hey, man, I wasn't going to make a big deal, but can I get a photo? And he was like, yeah, no worries. And he said, who you got in this match? And it was right before the Cena match. So I think Miz is going to retain. And he kind of looked at me funny, but proves I'm more of a wrestling fan than he is. But it wasn't Macaulay Culkin. I sent the picture to my wife, and she was like, oh, my God. And then, a couple of minutes later, during the main event of WrestleMania, no less, she's like, I don't think that's Macaulay Culkin. I was like, I think it is. And she's like, no, it's not. Turns out it's actually, and I can't even remember his name now, but the brother, Kieran
Culkin?
I don't know. Yeah, the dude that was in Scott Pilgrim, it was him. But it looked like an emo Macaulay Culkin. So it was a slightly less famous star sighting, but I did take my photo with that dude. But then I thought
it was just some random dude you went up to.
No, no, no. We have just confirmed it by the Google and the TMZ that it was that guy. But then I blew it away the next day with the Sarge sighting, so I was much happier with Sarge. But the whole weekend, from meeting everybody at Stats on the first night to seeing Brian be completely dissed by a 6-foot-tall plush dolphin at the aquarium, that was a good time. he just so didn't get photo taken with that mascot. It was awesome. But yeah, I enjoyed the whole thing. It was so cool, and I can't wait for Miami next year.
Yes, sir.
With my angle, no less, because I remember telling a couple of folk, including I believe it was Glenn from Ireland, that I forget which mania it was, but I so wanted them to end that mania with Austin or Rock. I forget which one it was, but Austin Rock versus Hogan next year, and end it just like that. And they essentially did that with Cena and Rock this year. So they totally stole my idea, and I'm very happy, and I can't wait for the sunny beaches of Miami, Florida, technically Fort Lauderdale, but we don't care, next year.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Thanks for calling in, Matt.
Thanks, man.
Man. Later.
Take it easy. Okay, we got another caller who's been on hold here for a little while, so let me get them on the line here. Caller calling from area code 402. Who's this?
Happy birthday, Craig.
Thank you, sir.
Ironically, one of the people I was going to shout out for WrestleMania weekend was the man that was just on the line because he picked up our tab at Stats, and he didn't have to
Stevie,
do that.
Oh, Stevie, I would have kept Matt on longer if I knew it was Stevie.
Yeah, whatever, Ed. You're so welcome for me posting all your shows this weekend. That's gratitude.
Oh, yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You know, Matt is a fabulous man, and he'll be embarrassed for me telling this, but he picked up a couple of things for me this weekend as well. And I did drive him around, and it was my rental car, and I didn't charge him for it or anything like that. But Matt was a very generous man this weekend, and thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate it.
Indeed he was. In fact, in his honor, we're establishing the Pay It Forward F4W Newbie Fund. So somebody who comes to a show for the first time, whether it's in Vegas or WrestleMania, we're going to pick up the tab for them on a couple of things and keep paying it forward for the rest of the empire.
That's decent. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Does it include flight?
I don't know what all it includes. It probably includes picking up somebody's bar tab if it's not Ric Flair-esque, you know.
Okay.
Whatever the reasonable thing is we can do.
What's going on, Steve?
Oh, I just wanted to say it was a tremendously fun weekend. I'm so glad that so many of us were all able to get together in Atlanta, and Ed, you were your gregarious self as always, so you made it fun as well, and everybody just had a grand old time. I hear all these negativities about the show and about how it sucked on television. Well, obviously, they weren't having the time of their lives in Atlanta like we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as Mania weekends go, this was probably the best one we've done. I mean, it was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm. And just the diversity of things that there were to do. I mean, there were, you know, the local stuff that you could go to, like the Aquarium or the World of Coke, and then there were Dragon Gate and Ring of Honor and WWE shows and all the Access events and the WrestleMania. I mean, there were so many things to do that anybody who was bored in Atlanta was just not trying.
Well, you guys didn't have to sit in a car with a jerk named Rodney all day long just who can suck the fun out of anything, so...
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Outside of the wrestling events, wasn't all that fun.
You bury Crippler every chance you get, but that man is aces with me. He's never done me wrong, and I don't think he could ever do a fly wrong. He's too sweet for words.
Ed's right. Still mad that he went and saw Craig and them the other weekend, and Ed didn't get to go.
Yeah, oddly enough, there's going to be a UFC in his neck of the woods here later on, and Horseman was telling me that we need to go see him. And I'm still thinking.
There's
going to
be one in New Orleans?
Yes, there's going to be. I can't remember when it is, but yeah, it's going to be in New Orleans.
If there's a UFC in New Orleans, I'm so there. I will be there.
Yeah. I can't remember which one it was. It was August or September or something, which is a dreadful time to be in New Orleans, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very hot that time of year. It's also a dreadful time of year to go to Vegas. I was there in August, and it was like 105 in the shade. That was no buys.
Yeah, Right.
So.
Well, I'm used to it. I'm wondering how much of aircraft would be a sent that far from here.
I might have to actually take a train just to save a little money, because these days gas prices are getting ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Well, luckily for me, until the end of July, I'm only paying $2.99 per gallon. But unfortunately, that shit runs out at the end of July.
Yeah. Now, you take advantage of it while you can. But the other thing I wanted to say is, as regards to the weekend, was my wife was very, very upset that they confiscated her camera and mine, and I heard you guys talking about that earlier, and I wouldn't have minded it at all if they had actually printed on the tickets no cameras or flash photography, because usually
right.
you know better than to bring it, but the tickets didn't say anything about that.
No, they didn't, but, you know, the guy patting me down, you know, he had his hand right on my camera and my jacket and never said a thing, so I was like, well, I'll just play dumb, which isn't really hard, to be honest with you, but,
oh,
yeah.
Yes. But, yeah.
And I walked in with my big-ass Droid X phone that looks exactly like a camera almost, and then I had my voice recorder in the other hand, and they didn't say anything to me, so.
No, clearly
it,
they
I
didn't
think
care.
It was on the honor system. I think it was on the honor system that if you said, hey, I got my camera, okay, go check it in.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Either way, they definitely didn't care about cell phones, because I wouldn't have my picture with Jim Cornette if they were taking those, too. So clearly some phones were, you know, with cameras were acceptable, but if it looked kind of professional, then they might have had a problem.
Yeah, well.
Again, that carries
me. The best match of that show, that was the best match on that show, too, wasn't it?
What's that?
When they made you go to the back to take your camera,
yeah.
It was during like the main match.
Oh yeah, I got thrown out right at the Davey Richards and Roderick Strong, and I missed the finish.
Oh dang!
I had to walk to the car because I wasn't going to leave it with politically correct. There was a shady fella taking the cameras.
Because he was black?
I think he was.
You know, there were a lot of black people down there.
Yeah, it was the South, Ed. No, I think he was a rotund Hispanic fellow with a mullet. But anyway.
Yeah, that's the guy we gave up ours to, and Michelle was exceedingly worried that we weren't going to get our cameras back. And
exactly.
The line to get them back, the line was very long to get them back after the show, so you made the right choice taking it to your car.
I'll tell you what, instead of giving it to that guy, I was ready to walk past the haunted house and put it back in my car where it could have been jacked then, than leave it with this young man. So
yeah.
Make sure nothing happens to my camera, boy. That's what you should have said.
Or you might not get it back at that.
But this is the ROH show, you can't take your camera?
Yeah, they don't allow pictures at the ROH.
What are they gonna think? You're gonna take a bunch of pictures and make a flip book so it looks like a video or something? I mean,
I have no idea. I don't know if they do it for all their shows or if they just do
maybe
it for the pay-per-views, whatever.
Yeah,
maybe
they're
worried about the flashes on the pay-per-view or something.
Well, right. I had a feeling it might be related to iPay-per-view. Go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say I don't take pictures with the flash anyway because they look better without it because. You know what I mean? And heck, my cell phone has a flash on it. So I don't know what the big deal was.
Yeah. Well, a lot of
I mean, with Bill after ringside, do they got to deal with PWI where they only get their photos sold to the magazine?
They did have two or three cameramen out there besides the ones actually filming the show. So.
Yeah,
yeah,
all the things in that place look better in the dark anyway, because that, I know they supposedly filmed WCW there, but I'm trying to imagine how, because that place was kind of a dump.
Was
well,
it, like,
it was
unrecognizable from WCW TV?
Yeah. Well, Gana was telling me he wanted to drag more lights in there and light up the crowd, and he was really upset. He was really upset that he couldn't get more lighting in there, and he was worried about the production value, and I thought it looked great live. I don't know how it came across on iPay-per-view, but, you know,
yeah,
just the feel of that building was just awesome.
Yeah, it was great in the dark. I think more light would have just detracted from it because Then you
right.
then you would have seen how dirty and dusty the seats were, and just no. It came off good on iPay-per-view because the guy covering it for Angry Mark said it was a tremendous show, and he thought it was the best show he watched all weekend. So that
yeah.
tells you how it came off on internet.
Yeah,
that's
my idea. Like when I go to bed with a woman, you know, it's better in the dark. You can't
hold on, you guys are stepping all over each other.
I was gonna say, did anybody ever find out who that really hot blonde was that was standing right behind us?
No, but it looks like Ashley from WWE, and then it kind of looked like Caitlyn too. So I'm not 100% who it was.
You can't tell them apart.
Yeah, you know what? Thinking back, it might have been Kenny King's girlfriend.
Hmm.
Because I saw her last year, so
and Arizona, that's right, dude. It might have been.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking after, you know, a week to think about it. If anybody hasn't seen the iPay-per-views, I highly recommend that you check them out. They're on demand at GoFightLive.com. The first night is tremendous. It's better than the second night by leaps and bounds. But the second night.
How much did you have to pay Prazak for him to give you the plug on the first show?
I didn't pay him a thing. He saw me in the crowd, and he waved, and we chatted for a while, and then he gave me a shout-out on the pay-per-view. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, it's kind of hard to miss you, though. So.
Well, there is that. But anyway, it was $20 to watch both those shows, and it was a third of the price of Mania and three times the wrestling, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Four times, five times, shit, man. I mean, how long were the shows? I didn't keep track. I mean, they seemed like they were longer than 3 hours. Maybe not with the pay-per-view, but...
I want to say they were right around 3.5 hours, three and a half. They were great. I mean, the second night, for those of you that haven't got the results or anything, but... The All Night Express against the Briscoes was easily one of the bloodiest matches I've ever seen. It was ridiculous how much blood was falling from the forehead of Jay Briscoe.
And then he kept doing, I don't know what the hell you would call it, but he kept,
he
looked like he was the Great Muda.
He was doing the Triple H, you know, when Triple H drinks his water and spits it into the air. He was doing that, but with his own blood.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah,
he did it a few times.
That night, people were passing around photos of the Briscoes match at the Dragon Gate show, and invariably, anybody who got the camera and looked at the pictures went, "Oh my God." Nobody could believe how bloody that was.
It looked like somebody turned on a faucet on his forehead.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
That match was great. I mean, the All Night Express really stepped it up, and they were working as the faces. So I mean, you know, I couldn't believe when I saw Rip Titus just get all fired up and start fucking kicking some ass. I was like, holy shit! But fuck, that match was badass.
Hey Ed, how mad were you when you found out that Trina Michaels was at the Dragon Gate show and you weren't there?
You know, I would have liked to have seen Trina, but, like, I really give a fuck about Dragon Gate.
Yeah, but you
Dragon
would have seen
Gate
her
on.
And Rebby Sky. You could have gotten two for the price of one.
I went on Sunday. I got drugged. It was really hard for me to get drugged, but Brian goes, you don't have to pay for a ticket. And I said, all right, let's go. So, anyway, went out there.
Just so
and,
I could have got a comp.
Yeah, I got a comp. But anyway. Anyway, it was a great show, to be honest with you. Probably a little bit better than the second ROH show, but it was right
ever.
I swear it was a good show, but not by much on the second ROH show. But saw Matt Hardy, oddly enough, at the bar, possibly tweeting, but he was at the bar.
He was there Saturday night too, but I didn't see him on that night's show. But people were telling me he was there.
Yeah, and
did he get thrown
you know,
out of the
wrestling?
Bar Sunday night? I'm sorry.
What's that?
I said, did he get thrown out of the bar Sunday night? That's what I heard, or Redneck Observer or something like that.
I don't know that, but
or they tried to go to the WWE after party and they got turned away or something.
You know, why didn't Matt Hardy go to all the way? Because Dragon King was out of the way, if I'm not mistaken, right, Craig?
But it was with Rebby Sky. He and Rebby Sky are an item, so whenever she does a show,
yeah,
he's going to show up.
Oh, okay.
It was about 20 minutes away from our hotels, actually, in the opposite direction. It was away from everything.
Yeah, it was like a 15-20 minute drive from that Buckhead Hyatt, whatever it was called, all the way out to the show.
Yeah, I know your buddy Supersonic ended up not making one of the shows because it was so far out.
Well, I actually had a ride lined up for him on Sunday, but he never showed, so I was going to take him out there, but whatever. Anyway,
then we ran into him the next morning with his bag at Chick-fil-A. Apparently, he must have stood went there to wait for his ride. Maybe you guys got wires crossed.
Hmm. Well, that happens. Anyway, no, the Dragon Gate show was really good on the second day. The Yamamoto in the main event, just phenomenal. It's the first time I've ever seen Pac wrestle, and
Pac,
he is amazing.
Didn't he wrestle
so
last
good.
Year?
I didn't see him last year.
I think he wrestled last year.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll have to go back. But anyway, I loved all the Dragon Gate matches. There was a couple of them that were kind of a throwaway match, but their stuff in between, their angles that they do, are so stupid.
Yes.
they came up, you know, Shima was in one of the things, and the best that Gabe could come up with was, well, let's go out there, and one of the heels will call Shima a she-male. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And nobody laughed. Nobody snickered. Nobody went, nothing. Dead silence. And that's the most uncomfortable feeling for somebody in the world. I mean, have you ever been embarrassed for somebody because they're just not smart enough not to know better? It felt like that. And then the Trina Michaels, Rebby Sky angle that they did at the end of the show, that was just as bad. And
maybe
it was like,
don't say anything bad about Trina. Probably.
I was like, just go back to wrestling, because that's what they're good at.
It's probably worse in a smaller place because you can actually get the feel that nobody really gives a fuck, instead of like just like a big arena or something where, you know, you got people screaming about this and that and. You know, some people, it's not that bad, but in a small place, it really, it's like crickets.
Yeah, but in Dragon's Gate, it doesn't matter how bad it's going to be. There's going to be the Dragon's Gate marks that are going to be going crazy for every stupid little thing.
I wasn't really impressed with the building either out there. It was like a commons area that you would eat your lunch at high school. It was just kind of a ghetto building, and they would climb to the top rope and balance themselves on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of guys
teased going through the ceiling. Like on the first night when Davey Richards did a flip, he actually pointed at the ceiling like he knew he was going to bust right through it.
The Austin Aries match against Jimmy Jacobs was really good. There was at one point when Jacobs was putting him in a head scissors, and they went to do it again, and Jimmy had his arms extended, and he had his feet tied around Aries' head, and Aries was like, really? We're going to do the head scissors spot? And he said it really loud, and everybody was kind of like, what in the world? And then he goes, I don't think so. And so he puts his feet down, and then he goes, all right. And then he takes his feet and ties them back around his neck, and they whipped around and around and around, and they did the spot. It was phenomenal.
Hey, Greg, I've got a question for you about the second night compared to the first night.
Sure.
Well, on the first night of the show, they did this angle, and again, you were talking about how bad the angles are. Well, they had a really bad one on the first night where both Sami Callihan and Jon Moxley were pissed off that they got screwed in their matches. So after intermission, they sent out a bunch of geeks that were apparently at a tryout show that afternoon and just had Sami Callihan and Moxley beat the living piss out of all of them and then start beating the piss out of each other. And it kind of reminded me in a very uncomfortable way of that whole angle with Kane and Snitsky, where they were both acting tough and talking about how much they liked each other and how mad they were at everybody else. Did they follow up on that the next night?
They didn't follow up on that, but they did a scramble match, and Eric Cannon and Sammy Callahan were brawling with each other, and they couldn't one up each other the whole time. So they finally just got frustrated, and both of them walked back to the locker room, and that was the last you saw of them. And then they came out, and they were arguing with each other, and they finally decided that they were going to form a tag team because they're so much alike. And he said, it doesn't matter what you call us. You can call us the two ugly F's. Of course, he didn't use the word F's, but I don't. And so the fans started chanting, two ugly F's. I was blown away by that chant that got going. And then the Dark City Fight Club came out. You figure, okay, they're going to slaughter these two guys and leave them laying. Well, they actually beat the Dark City Fight Club, who was debuting. So I don't know what the heck was going on.
Right. But yeah, those two were definitely letting loose on the profanities the whole the first night. Sounds like they were the second night. But Scott's son, JJ, was sitting right behind us on the first night. And I think it was Eric that said he lost because of a I'm not even going to use the word since you're a religious man, but a blank dumpster and a blank slut, and you can fill in the blanks. And I'm looking at I'm looking at Scott, and I'm looking at his son, and I'm like, I don't believe what I just heard.
Was this a G show?
No, it was not a PG show. And furthermore, each one of them, this is how I knew they were going to eventually team up, because they both used the same line. They said, I'm not effing around. So you knew they were building up to something with the two of them teaming.
Did they say effing?
No.
No.
Oddly enough, Sammy Callahan was not the only one who put profanity and ugliness into JJ, because I had to move JJ because he was sitting by Ed during the ROH shows.
He had the time of his life on Friday night. What are you talking about?
You were talking about inappropriate things with Asian women in the ring to a 12-year-old. You should be locked up.
Let me tell you about this little 12-year-old, okay? This little sneaky little kid recorded me having a when I was trying to call a certain individual to inquire about where my hypothermics were for that weekend, and he recorded me saying Negro, and he kept saying it over and over again, Negro, Negro. So little JJ is not the most innocent little kid who ever lived.
Well, he's a little bit more innocent since I moved him. I'll tell you that right now.
He didn't stay too innocent, though, because he obviously knew where the Sheiky's hotel room was, and that is innocence destroyed right there.
Oh, Lord. Well, listen, guys, I got to get out of here. I've got a show to go to. Last thing I'll say is on Monday morning, Michelle and I, my wife and I, we got out into the city a little bit, went to the Hard Rock Cafe in the downtown, and we happened to go right by the Hyatt, which is where all the workers are staying, and ran into Mark Henry. And you see him on TV, and you go, wow, that's a big man. Stand next to him. Really big man. And
did he really stink?
No. He was fine.
Okay.
But I was just, you know, I'm a big dude, and standing next to that guy, I didn't feel so big. He was a huge man.
That's how I feel when I'm next to you, Greg.
You know, if it makes you happy, Ed, go ahead and keep saying it, all right?
Oh, I will.
Well, okay. Don't let that ruin your birthday, Craig. Go out and have a good time tonight, and you deserve all the best.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Stevie J. Anyway, I'm out. Thanks again for the good weekend. I thank everybody, even the fellows here on the line, for a good weekend. And, again, this is a call-in show. Check out the numbers and give us a call, because now Ed's running the board. All right, I'm out. See you guys.
Later, Craig.
Yeah, I'm going to head out too, so I'll plug the number on behalf of the show before I go. 347 850-8933 for any members of the Empire or anybody listening right now who wants to call in and share their WrestleMania experience or their thoughts on WrestleMania, watching it at home, whatever the case may be. Call into Over the Top Radio and support the show and have fun with Ed and Cotrer. Guys, thanks for having me on the line, and I'll check you out later.
Later, Steve.
All right, take it easy, Steve.
How was the Hall of Fame?
The Hall of Fame was awesome. The tickets, our seats were kind of, they were to the side. We were like almost right even with the stage to the side. But, I mean, they were decent. But the Hall of Fame was great because they didn't really have, like, I can't say everybody didn't have them, but there weren't, like, the main ones didn't have time restrictions. Like Terry Funk got to talk, like, 5 times longer inducting Abdullah the Butcher than him and his brother did at when they were inducted themselves. And he was awesome. He was stealing the show for a long time. Dusty was really good. He went on for a long time. The Million Dollar Man, he went on for quite a while. Duggan went on for a long time. I mean, the only ones that were like kind of short were like Abdullah was real quick. And really, basically, that was it. It seemed like everybody got like a lot of time. I mean, Sunday was out there forever.
I think Animal and Paul Ellering got a good bit of time.
They were out there for a long time because they kept like kind of switching off. Like it'd be funny because like Ellering was kind of like a promo kind of a thing. Like he'd say something like I don't want to say he'd like say some kind of like a saying or something. Something he was just basically making up, I guess, as he was going along. But he would say something, and then Animal would tell a story, and then Ellering would say something like really quick again, and then Animal would talk. And it was they were pretty good.
It seemed like he got kind of lost when he had to, like, say the word wrestler or something and didn't know what to use the term.
Honestly, I don't remember that. But, you know, I guess might just be able to not caught my attention during the show. But,
I watched it on TV, and, I thought Animal and Paul Eller, and I thought that was awesome, stuff they said about Hulk and all that. And I thought the Triple H's induction speech, which I probably didn't get to hear all of it, but
you
I heard it was
you
really...
didn't hear shit compared to what I heard. I mean, I heard supposedly they butchered that thing.
Yeah.
He went on, dude, he was, as much as I hate Triple H, I mean, right. Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes is awesome, and Terry Funk was stealing the show up to that point. Triple H was the best thing on that show. I mean, he fucking just ripped Shawn a new asshole like he should be on like these Comedy Central celebrity roast. I mean, he was fucking hilarious, dude.
Yeah, like, he came out, he did something totally different than I think people thought that he was going to do. That's why I got over so much. Because you don't think he's going to come out there and spend, like, the majority of his time just making fun of Shawn Michaels. Which is basically
what he did. Yeah, I guess everyone thought he'd be all, like, crying and all, like, you know, like that kind of thing. But that was when he talked about him fucking being able to shoot a scroll with one arm and a fucking shoot a duck with the other one. Google
I popped for Nash and Waltman coming out at the end. Did that get a big pop?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was kind of cool. It's like, because they stopped and they did the pose, and I said, okay, they're just about to walk off, and all of a sudden they walked out. That was kind of a trip.
What was the reaction to, like, Road Dogg coming out to his music?
It kind of popped. That kind of popped. It was pretty cool. He lost his spot. He kind of, like, it was a little dead air because he kind of lost his spot, but he, like, recovered. But he was pretty good.
Was he the only one of the brothers that spoke?
Yeah, it was him and what's the referee, Scott?
Scott, yeah, and Brad. Scott
and Brad. But I didn't recognize it. I thought it was the other one because Brad had short hair, and
yep.
He didn't say anything. And like I say, we weren't, like, super, super close. So it was kind of hard for me to make it out. I thought he was the one missing, but it was actually Steve that was missing.
I tell you the best thing I saw, like, production-wise and, like, video-wise all weekend. I don't know if they showed this at the Hall of Fame, you know, while you were there. They showed this awesome, like, Shawn Michaels video, like, right before his induction. I don't know if they showed that at the actual.
Oh, yeah.
Did they show
it at the
ceremony?
Yeah, everybody. Everyone had, like, a nice, you know, like, video package, and he had one. They showed
this awesome Shawn Michaels music video, and the best thing that like that that I saw all weekend was like the video right before the Miz came out at WrestleMania.
That Miz video was fucking awesome.
That made him look like the biggest star in the world.
It did. I mean, that was fucking badass. And then
I was just popping.
John Cena wants to set the Undertaker has his streak. John Cena wants to have the streak of the shittiest motherfucking WrestleMania entrances in fucking history, man. Because I'm sorry for saying this, but that fucking choir sucked ass, dude.
I don't know if it's so much the choir; it was just what they were doing. You know.
And then I had to listen to this drunk idiot just talk about, because you know they have the big screen with everyone has the elaborate screen when they're entering.
Yeah.
Well, behind the choir, it looked like a goddamn lit up fucking mushroom, and some guy went shove about, it's a mushroom, it's a mushroom, why is it a mushroom? It's like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, it's not like the choir sucked, it's what they had them out there that sucked. You know, because it didn't really make much sense to me. Let's see. I don't know.
When they had the army last year, I mean, they booed the army. You think they're not going to boo a choir? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And then I was kind of worried there because I thought that the Triple H entrance was so fucking awesome. You know, when they had the Metallica started off, and then they had the guys with the shields come up, and then you could just see, kind of like in the darkness, you could see it looked like Hunter in that Conan outfit from that other WrestleMania where he looked like a complete idiot. And it's, God, don't tell me he's coming out in this one. But it was cool because you couldn't see him, but you could see it was like somebody in a Conan outfit and the lights went down, and then it came back up, and he was just there in his wrestling gear. I thought it was fucking awesome.
Okay, I was actually marking out when this was going on even more because I guess I misunderstood him, or I don't know what the fuck, but like, the Peach Machine was at the show, and we ran into him before the show. So we're walking, we're talking, and he brought up Metallica. He said something about Metallica being on the show. And I'm thinking, did they get Metallica to perform? And he said something with Triple H. He said it was Metallica. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it sounded like Metallica was going to be there. So when they start playing fucking When Heals of Bell Tones and it's dark and they're fucking putting up those things, I'm like, holy shit, it's fucking Metallica.
They just said, over the weekend it got reported on, Metallica's Twitter that they're using one of their songs for Triple H at the show. I mean, if they were going to be there, they would have at least promoted that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure that cost them a pretty good penny just for those first few notes of, the song. So.
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, they didn't want to use Inner Sandman back in the day when he's the ECW thing.
That match was fucking incredible.
Yeah, that match was fucking awesome. And I fucking went insane when he kicked out of the tombstone. I literally went fucking insane.
Was that when Taker kicked out of the tombstone by Triple H?
Yeah, when Taker kicked out of the tombstone, I just remember I just started fucking screaming and pumping my fist and just fucking, because I was so scared that Hunter was going to end the streak, you know, that he pulled some bullshit. It was politically, you know, somehow got to where he could end the streak. So when he kicked out, I went crazy. And I just remember this one guy from the board, Aeroscorp. Tommy, he's from the South. He might be related to him. But he just turns around and looks at me like, what the I mean, because I was going crazy, dude. I was like a fucking little kid just fucking.
I couldn't believe Taker pulled that dive off again.
Oh, I know. And he didn't even get caught, you know.
I mean, needed a 2-year break after that last dive.
Yeah, but fuck, dude. He hit the ground pretty hard. He fucking took a beating in that match.
And I know some were saying, oh, it was just guys kicking out of finishers and just doing their finisher over and over. And I don't know. I kind of follow the side of Dave and Brian. I mean, a match like that is all about the setting. It's WrestleMania. You got 70,000 people out there. They're all going ape shit. I mean, I can't hate a match like that. Maybe if it was in some National Guard armory with a bunch of guys I never heard of and they're just doing spots, I'd say this is stupid. But no, that match was awesome.
I mean, are these people just fucking trolling, or are they actually this fucking stupid to think this way? I thought that match wasn't any good. I mean, it's like, they have to be trolling or something, dude. How could anyone not like that match?
I know near the end that, you know, Triple H is going to go for something, and Taker's going to go for the Goga plot, and that's going to be it. I figured that was going to be the finish.
You know, I totally forgot about the Goga plot.
Yeah, because they were doing so much other big stuff. It was just like a simple maneuver, you know?
Yeah, when they put it on, I was like, oh, shit, I fucking forgot about that. And then they did they paced it well when he was, like, struggling, because, I mean, it really looked like he was going to hit him. You know, he was going to survive and hit him with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, and I think I like that they did the, you know, like Taker last year was doing, telling Shawn to stay down, and Triple H was telling Taker to stay down this year. And really,
yeah.
I like the Goga plot of finish because, you know, after all that, it wasn't, like, believable to me that Taker still had the strength to pull off his big moves. So it was, like, something simple he could just, like, wrap him up in and just hold him.
Yeah.
And, that was a Undertaker. He's, like, I think he's one of, like, the top 10 best of all time, probably.
It's funny because, you know, you 10 years ago, you never would have even considered saying something like that.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, it's those 18 or 19? It's 19 now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, until the last 5 years, they were always against some big, like El Gigante or Johnny Gonzalez or whatever, or fucking people like that. Mark Henry, even not even that long ago, I mean.
It wasn't until he started going there with the Bret Harts and the Shawn Michaels that you could really see what he could do.
Yeah, I mean, all his matches with Shawn Michaels, you know, from, you know, before Shawn got hurt, fucking badass, fucking the last couple of years, the 100
matches with Kurt Angle
back in the day was good. The one with Batista,
yeah,
was good. I mean, yeah, dude. I mean, he's really become like, especially on a, I mean. He can't do it every night, but as far as that fucking stepping up for that one big pay-per-view, I mean, fuck, dude. No one does it better than him. Maybe it's just
yeah,
maybe
I was thinking,
Shawn.
Like, you know, he should at least get to 20-0 just because of the number. I don't know, just because.
Yeah.
He'd just get to 20-0. If he goes anywhere after that, I don't think it's a big deal if he loses, to be honest. There's no shame in losing after you get 20 wins and no losses at WrestleMania. I don't think it's a big deal, but. But the only thing is, they got to have the right person do it. They got to have the right person that's going to be in an Undertaker type spot after that.
Yeah, and there's no one really like that right now.
Yeah, nobody.
So.
What did you think of Tough Enough on Monday night?
The people that they picked for the show fucking suck. But that's one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. It's basically 1 hour of fucking Stone Cold. Fucking
yeah,
shit.
If he wasn't on the show, it would be no good.
Yeah, I mean, really, really. But fuck, dude, he makes it. I mean, dude, it's what we've been missing for like years. Just Stone Cold fucking just being Stone Cold. I mean, he was awesome.
And
I don't
he's on
a
show, he can
like
cut promos on motherfuckers every week and doesn't have to take any bumps.
Yeah, I mean, and that fucking promo. And he fucking cut that promo on that girl. That was fucking hilarious, dude. I mean, well. I should say when he cut that promo when he was speechless. When he was fucking speechless when she fucking said Alicia Fox and Melina.
Is that Alicia Fox's sister?
I know she has a little sister there, but I don't know if that's her. That'd be funny if it was.
I wasn't sure, but yeah, when she said Melina Alicia Fox, I said, oh no, it's over. And Austin just kept just looking. And then he gave her another chance, and then she couldn't come up with anything. It's like when I watched the after the first two seasons of Tough Enough, they did a reunion special, and Daryl said he just wanted to be there to be on TV. He said, but they asked me who my favorite match of the world was, and I said Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter, and Taz ripped him apart and chased him off the stage because he shamed him so much and punked him out, and so that's kind of like the same situation. It's just Melina Alicia Fox. Oh, God. One guy on there is from my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Oh, really? Is that the country boy dude? The guy who
fell
feet?
Out running the ropes?
That was hilarious. And then the fucking... I like how Miss USA is the most ghetto bitch in the world.
Yeah. And
I like her, dude. Fucking, she's my favorite character because fucking, she's hot, she's fucking a fucking bitch, and she fucking cheats.
Yeah.
And I like how Trish's all, you know, would you cheat like that in your pageant? And then Booker T's like, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah. And I like Bill DeMott on there.
He's actually awesome, dude. I thought he was going to suck, but he's actually awesome.
I watched Tough Enough, and then like the previous week I'd watched the debut of The Ultimate Fighter, and it's just like Tough Enough was way better.
Oh, it's not even close. I mean, the people on Ultimate Fighter were boring, and my God, the last two fights are the most boring, god-awful fucking pieces of crap that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, oh, Jesus Christ, that fight the other day was horrible. I didn't even want to think about it.
Yeah, but I just, yeah, Tough Enough, I'm sort of looking every week to watch that at 7 o'clock right before Raw. So.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see it. That's for sure.
What do you think of them announcing the main event already for next year?
I'm excited because that, you know, because I'm excited. That's what I was hoping that was, because I was hoping that I'm going to WrestleMania next year anyway. I was hoping, because I'm going anyway, that they do something badass. So now that they are, so I mean, it even makes it even better. And that we're going to be staying in Fort Lauderdale. That's where all the hotel rooms are going to be. So it's going to be one hell of a fucking trip. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's just so weird that they have that match so far in advance, you know, already planned out. It's like, well, if you're going to promote a match a year in advance, I guess that'd be the one to do. It's like
it's
the
only
biggest.
One you can do, really, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, being the only one at that level that can have a match with Rock like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It'd just be interesting to see what they do between now and then, because, I mean, if you got a year. So.
Yeah, well, they have plenty of time. They could do all kinds of different stuff and just come Royal Rumble, just have The Rock show up, and that's all you need as far as storyline. It's not like you really, you know, it's not like they have to follow the storyline starting now. You know what I mean? They just have to start.
Have him show up in the Royal Rumble and eliminate John Cena. He said, don't worry about the Rumble. You got a match with me.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, that's it. Something like that.
I know there was talk of doing that match at SummerSlam, but WrestleMania just seems like too perfect of a place to do it.
There was no talk of it being at SummerSlam. No, that was some little midget who's so nearsighted that he can't see that WrestleMania is in Miami. And if you're in Miami, why not have The Rock go into the Hall of Fame, and why not also have it be in the main event in Miami? No, you want to put this dude in SummerSlam, a pay-per-view that doesn't do shit anymore, really.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt he's going to be in he'll be the headline.
I never heard Dave say he was going to be at SummerSlam, because Dave was able to think a little further in advance and see that it would probably be at WrestleMania.
What was the reaction like for the Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler thing? And maybe it went a little long.
It went a little long, but it didn't die a horrible death live. I mean, it starts to get long, but it's not like everybody turned on it. I mean, it was super hot to start, and then when he was having to sell for Cole, that's when it kind of went to shit. But then when he won, and then they did the thing with Booker, and then the celebrating, kicked Josh's ass and all that, everyone was going crazy for that. So it was just like everyone took a little time out.
Yeah, I mean, the reversal decision, it don't matter. We know who won the match. I mean, it's not a big deal. I didn't care that much. It wasn't like it was Lawler and Vince last year. I thought he kind of worked over Lawler just a little bit too long, and that was about it for it, you know, as far as that goes.
Yeah, they could have just cut a few minutes off of that. They could have cut a few minutes off of that. They could have cut Edge fucking up the car, and then they could have had Bryan Danielson and Sheamus actually on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. I think the only thing y'all missed going to the live show is you didn't get to hear Jim Ross.
Yeah, that's the only thing. So I'm hoping someone around here has a copy of it so I can check it out or get the DVD and put it up. Yeah, so that's the only thing. I wish they were like UFC, and UFC, you can buy these little things for $5 where it's a little, It's like a little radio that only picks up the UFC broadcast. Like you could go to like the Vegas and buy it, and then you can put it in your ear, and you can hear Joe Rogan call the commentary, and then you can't really use it. There's no purpose to use it except maybe if you go to another UFC show, wherever you go, you can take it and it'll work. So I wish like the WWE had something like that where, especially on pay-per-view, where you could, especially if Jim Ross is calling in, I mean, who cares if Michael Cole is doing it? But it would be nice if you had a way to listen to the commentary while you're at the live show.
Now, did I see a picture of you in the crowd and somebody holding up a sign that says Randy's wife pointing down and it was Sinbad?
Yeah, that was your gay co-host Sinbad. Whitney made him hold that sign up for he was what did it say, Randy Orton's wife?
Yeah.
Oh, I sat next to your co-host the whole show, and that he literally is gay because I mean that dude is in love with Cody Rhodes. It's not a gimmick. The dude is like psychopathic to Cody Rhodes. It's not even funny. It's kind of actually disturbing.
I was kind of sold on Cody Rhodes, the character, with his match Monday, though. I like his new character where he comes out and thinks he looks disgusting. It's kind of, I don't know, kind of got a harder edge to him and stuff like that. I like it, so.
I thought they had a really good match. But one more thing about your damn co-host Sinbad is he kept threatening to give me a hug, so I told him to hear and try it. I was going to punch him in the face. And that sneaky little bastard came up behind me at the Hall of Fame and fucking gave me a hug after all, so. But he's lucky I was nice. I didn't punch him in the face, but very close to it. But anyway, it was like I say, it was highly entertaining sitting next to him during the Cody Rhodes match. It's everything you think it would be. did you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we start to wrap it up here?
No, I don't think so. I think that's about it.
Okay. Well, for those that don't know, that only listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, I did some audios of the weekend. Basically, I got reviews of both ROH shows and then a review of Hall of Fame Mania. And then little short interviews with David Lagana, Dave Prazak right after the second show, which Brian Alvarez tried to sabotage my Dave Prazak one. And then a short one with Brian. So we're going to play that. Here in a minute. I just realized that means that I can't hang up my phone. I have to let my phone sit here for like an hour and a half on and shit while I just go fuck off in the other room and do something. But, oh well. But, yeah, so everyone, I'll play that here in a second. So we'll be back next week. I don't know if we have any plans or not or what's going on, but we'll come up with something one way or another. So did you want to throw your plug out? Oh, everybody check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. That's where these original little sound bites were available at first. And go ahead with your plug.
Yeah, Pros and Flashback. I think we're coming back this Thursday night. It'll be at this address, blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere. And not sure what time it's going to be, but just check the main page on Blog Talk, and we'll have it up there for you. Or if you're on the board, just check the board. So that'll be next Thursday.
Cool. Well, everybody, come back next week, and we'll see everybody then. And let me start this.
Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed in San Antonio. And I am currently joined by no one in my hotel room. it's Saturday morning, and I finally recovered from the first night here at WrestleMania weekend, which was actually one hell of a freaking night. It was actually pretty goddamn awesome. First out, shout out to Mr. Highlight for the awesome fucking room he got me for very little money, that is. And all I got to say is... it's been just a great trip. Atlanta's not too bad. It's kind of spread out. No rude people. We haven't run into any rude people yet or anything like that. So far, props to Atlanta. Just started with the trip. I got here, checked in, got to meet up with a bunch of guys, Rodney, his friend Pete, Bat Clary, Supersonic, ran into Fritz, ran into everybody's favorite Playboy Clips and a couple of his friends, and just a bunch of different people. It was that I met for the first time. It was pretty cool. And I guess the first event that we did is we went to Stats Food and Beverage, and we had a good little time there. Me and Doc G, a fine Empire member from Canada, we tore up the biggest platter they had, platter for four, and the two of us ate. Well, I can't say we ate it all. Craig and Cecilian from France had to help us a little bit, but we tore that motherfucker up as much as we possibly could. And that was a cool time. A lot of members from the board there. Unfortunately, I cannot remember hardly anybody's name. I apologize for that. But met a lot of new people. Got to meet Alex Goff for the first time. Really cool dude. Me and him have been, I guess, internet friends and talked in wrestling fans for quite a while now. And that was actually cool to meet him and his wife. And that was cool. And my good friend, board member, I don't even know if I'm going to say it right, but Cillion or Cillium from France, he's here. He's actually lost a shitload of weight. He's the guy who, if you saw the video of Ric Flair cutting a promo on a French announcer and on France, he is the announcer guy, the tall, bleach blonde hair guy. He's a super cool dude, and it was good to see him again. And, you know, we ate, had fun at Stats. And then we went over to the ROH show, which was at the world famous center stage. And if you get there on the outside, it looks like a fucking dive hole. I mean, there's almost nothing there. Just a little sign that says center stage, don't look like shit. But once you go get in there, and it's not the fanciest place or anything, but it's the perfect place for an indie wrestling show. I mean, it was awesome. We were fourth row. Not like we were the last few years where we were first row, but fourth row was actually perfect because every row was elevated, and we were elevated perfectly with the ring, so it was just a perfect view of the ring. It was a great show, great atmosphere. I loved center stage. It was freaking awesome. The only building that I would probably ever mark out more for would be the Sportatorium, and unfortunately the Sportatorium is no longer here. Maybe Madison Square Garden, but I'm not even sure I'd be able to score tickets to WrestleMania 30 in Madison Square Garden. So, but yeah, center stage was cool. And as far as the ROH show is concerned, it was pretty damn awesome. My memory is not too accurate, so let me change pages here and go to the actual lineup so I can kind of refresh my memory as I go along here. So, let's see. Live ROH coverage from Atlanta, live. I wonder who did this. It was Brian, I bet it sucks. And we'll see here. Computer's acting a little slow. The internet here kind of isn't that great. Oh, it's by somebody else. I don't know who it is. But the first match was Michael Elgin, and he wrestled everyone's favorite, El Generico. And very hot opening match. Generico was super over with the crowd. And this is awesome. But basically, he did like a diving tope, but he was outside the ring. He dove through the ropes from one corner and then out the ropes from the other side of the corner onto Egan. And they had a great match until some little midget guy dressed like a ninja. I mean, the guy was small. He was even smaller than Brian Alvarez, if you can believe that. But, yeah, he interfered. It was Generico, the match. I was actually kind of freaked out. Not very familiar with Michael Elgin, so I didn't expect him to get the upset win over El Generico. But a very good opener, and we highly enjoyed the show. And then the second match was, this was weird because I actually didn't know what was going on at first because I actually thought it was a tag team match, but it turns out it was actually a four-way match, and I didn't realize that until halfway through the match when a couple guys who I thought were teammates started fighting with each other. So basically, it started with the Embassy coming out, and Prince Nana, who's one of the coolest managers who ever lived, came out with his entourage, and including one Asian girl by the name of I think her name's Mia. Anyway, she's Adam Cole's valet in CZW, and we talked about her on the show when we had Adam Cole on the show, and she is fucking hot. I mean, this chick is so fucking hot. It's incredible. And she even fucking kicked the shit out of, I don't know if it was Homicide or Cabana, but she fucking kicked the shit out of one of them, and that was awesome. But the match was pretty cool. The biggest spot of the night was Homicide did three dives in a row, one right after the other, and everyone went fucking crazy and for him. And Cabana was, you know, Colt was Colt, man. He's always on. He's always great. And did one of the best butt butts I had ever seen. And well, anyway, the match was Homicide versus Colt Cabana versus Caleb Conley. I don't even know how to fucking say that. I don't even know how it was spelled. And oh man, I can't even say the things. But it's one of the guys Brutal Bob was talking about on the show. Shim, I'm not even going to say it, but anyway, he basically dipped the pin. Somebody told me it was Daphne's husband or boyfriend who looked exactly like Spanky, and the entire crowd was chanting Spanky at him. And I also kind of remember the guy, he was giving me dirty looks when I went and smoked a joint with Daphne at WrestleMania in Houston. So he regularly got his ass kicked for hitting on Ed. So, yeah, but a very good match, and Homicide, Mr. 187, got the victory in the match, and it was a good match. And the next match featured the Japanese women, I can't even say what company they're for, but very cute Asian girls. You know me, I love the Asians, and I was quite into them. And they wrestled Serena Deeb, former WWE Serena. Everyone knows her. She has the enormous giant breastises. And she teamed with Sarah Del Rey, who's probably the best North American women wrestler at this time, and who has just this incredible, incredibly fat ass that is just so beautiful that if I ever get to choose how I die, I want it to be by suffocation in between her butt cheeks. Because that ass is just something to behold. I have many pictures on my phone of that ass, and it was awesome. And they had one hell of a fucking match. They beat the shit out of each other. It was awesome. The only negative was this one little 15, 16-year-old girl in the front row who stood there and screamed. I mean, if you think my only Toyota screamed a lot in her matches, she ain't got nothing on this little girl. This girl is kind of annoying. But the match, like I said, the match was just fantastic. These girls beat the shit out of each other. Their work rate was just top notch. And it ended from one of the Asian girls basically gave Serena two exploding suplexes, Masawa style, right on the back of her head and neck. And just brutal looking. Talking to Brian's wife, Whitney, after the match, she just was horrified at the two moves of being dropped on her head. And a lot of people thought she was seriously hurt, but you tell she was over. She was just selling, but I'm sure it didn't feel good because, my God, those were some awesome suplexes. And then after the match, Asian girls are chanting, were celebrating. And in the aisle way was the other Asian girl of the trio with her tag team partner, Daisy Hayes, who they had a brief altercation. I didn't actually see what happened, but Daisy and the other girl kind of took off, so nothing that, you know, exploded after the match. But that sets up the match between Daisy and her partner against the two Asian girls today, which should be another awesome match. And then we were treated to just one incredible fucking match. We had the Briscoe brothers, Jay and Mark, wrestling Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. And Adam Cole, who was just on the show a few weeks ago, the Pro Wrestling, the Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year. And I gotta say, this match was fucking awesome. The place was going fucking crazy. Cole and O'Reilly, they're very young, They're very new. They're not the biggest guys in the world, but these guys worked their ass off, and they had a great match. And the Briscoes, who are beloved, were working a little bit heelish. You know, they were being the more of the aggressor, bully type guys, but not like all out. I mean, it's not like they were trying to be, you know, the most heated tag team out there. They were just working heel a little bit. But just incredible, awesome move after awesome move. Place is just going fucking crazy. There were actually a few minutes where we actually thought that Cole and O'Reilly were going to actually get the upset victory. And it really actually looked like it. They were. But the Briscoes, of course, won the match. And, you know, they took advantage of the mistake and hit the Doomsday and just won a great match. Four and a half star matches. I mean, match. It was just fantastic. After the match, the All Night Express of Kenny King and Rick Titus hit the ring and had a big pull apart with the Briscoes, where a bunch of geeks from security had to run in and separate them, and they all basically got thrown around like nothing and got their asses kicked. And it was actually quite a long brawl. Then I guess that sets up a match for today, and that should be pretty good. The next match was Davey Richards wrestling my very good friend Roderick Strong, and another 4.5-star match. And this match must have went about 30 minutes. And unfortunately, Craig didn't see the end of it because Craig got busted taking pictures with his camera, which you weren't allowed to take your camera in, and he missed that match. But the end of it. But basically, they beat the living shit out of each other. Including Davey got busted in the mouth hard way, and basically what he did was just let it keep bleeding, make this saliva, wait until he had a mouthful, took a kick from Roddy, and spit blood everywhere, twice. It was disgusting, but everybody popped big for it. And these guys just chomped the shit out of each other. They kicked the shit out of each other. They fucking went crazy. Everybody was chanting for Davey. I was chanting for Roddy. He was me against the world. And just a great match. And unfortunately, my boy did the job to Davey Richards. And but like I say, fucking awesome match. Just fucking awesome. Then we were treated to the second to last match, which featured the world's greatest tag team, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, formerly of the WWE, and against the Kings of Wrestling, which consists of Chris Hero and, of course, my buddy Claudio Castagnoli. And they also came out with Cerro Del Rey. And just an awesome match. 25 minutes, somewhere around there. Just they tore it up. I mean, Haas and Benjamin, just fantastic. You know, who knows why the WWE never really went with them. I mean, they're just fantastic. And Hero and Claudio, they should be in the WWE. I mean, they're just, in my opinion, they are the best tag team out there, hands down, worldwide. And just a great match. Claudio is just fucking awesome. The way he bumps for a big man, I mean, he's the fucking man. And they had a big match that went back and forth. Just people going crazy for everything. They hit all their spots. They, excuse me, it was fantastic. But it ended with the world's greatest tag team scoring the victory and winning and becoming the new ROH tag team champions. So, I actually, which is a surprise because, to be honest with you, I didn't think they would win because I heard rumors of Shelton getting a WWE tryout and actually doing pretty good. So I thought the chances of him going back were pretty good. So, yeah. So, but surprise them, winning with the title. I texted Claudio after the match to let him know how awesome it was, and he was cool enough to respond. And so shout out to Claudio. And just fantastic. I mean, four matches, really, with the women. And I just, you know, all 4 stars and above. And then we came to our main event, which was, after a long night of wrestling, three to four matches that were in the 4-star range. It was hard to have hope for these guys, but Eddie Edwards and Christopher Daniels did close to 30 minutes, had this excellent match back and forth. You know, Daniels is just awesome. I mean, if you really watch him and see everything he does, The man is one of the best workers in the business. He's professional. He's just fantastic. Eddie Edwards, who was on the show a few weeks ago, also one of the most improved wrestlers, just always improving, putting in a good performance. And these guys just had a great, great match where Eddie ended up getting the win. And then after, Daniels refused to shake hands. And then Eddie thanked the crowd for coming. And like I say, this show was top-notch, one of the best shows I've ever been to. I mean, nothing on this show was bad, just absolutely fantastic. The atmosphere was great. The place was great. I talked to Dirty Dutch Mantel, asked him about doing the show. He told me to send him an email, so maybe we'll get lucky and we'll have Dirty Dutch on the show. And, of course, once again, we will have a better interview with him than Brian Alvarez did because, you know, we're just better than Brian Alvarez. It's just that simple. And apparently one of the European members of the board gets very upset with me during my shows when I knock on Brian. But, you know, he brings it on himself. It's not my fault. You know, it's not my fault. But after the show, not too much happened. Basically, I was riding with Rodney and Pete, and they had to buy just some of their stuff. So we spent about an hour trying to find a Walgreens or a CVS that was open. So an eventful end of the night, but the rest of the night was absolutely fantastic. I do want to give shout-outs to, I cannot remember the guy's name, but, you know, like I said, I met quite a few guys and who actually had a lot of nice things to say about the show and very much appreciated. And this one German guy who basically told me the highlight of his weekend, basically his WrestleMania moment, is the fact that he got to meet the one and only Ed in fucking San Antonio. And this guy was awesome. And everybody loved the dude. He was loud and boisterous. And just a big fan of Ed in San Antonio. So shout out to the German guy. And I wish I remembered his name so I could say it on the air. But hopefully he will friend request me on Facebook very soon. And and we can become friends, better friends. And basically right now I'm just sitting in the room. We were thinking about going either to the aquarium with the group or the fan fest at ROH. But basically my ride is being a bum right now and just did not want to get out of bed. So Ronnie's just being a little punk, but unfortunately, you know, I guess it'd be nice just to relax for a few hours. It's a very long day today. ROH is the second show. The lineup's not as strong as the first one, but I'm sure it'll still be just as good. I mean, I've never been to a bad ROH shows. I mean, not that I've gone to a whole bunch, but the ones that I have been to are fucking awesome. And I can't wait for the afternoon show. And I also got to talk to David Lagana for a few minutes last night, so hopefully I'll get to talk to him a little more. And I'll try and get a few little interviews here and there. I don't know, the talent wasn't as accessible last night as I was hoping, so I don't know if I'll get any of the boys, but I will try and do my best to get some people on the show, even if it's just fucking board members to get their thoughts on the shows. And then tonight is, of course, the WWE Hall of Fame, featuring people like Atlanta's own Abdullah the Butcher going into the Hall of Fame, Bullet Bob Armstrong, the person everyone's knocking on, Drew Carey. I can't think of everyone. Sonny, one of my favorite divas of all time, who I actually got to meet last year and got a hug from, and it was like a little bitch in her arms when she hugged me last year. So, you know, I'm excited for that. Of course, the Road Warriors are going in. And who can ever forget the world's greatest tag team that ever lived, the real greatest tag team of all time, the Road Warriors. And, of course, the main event, the showstopper, the icon, the main event, Mr. WrestleMania, Shawn Michaels gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. Shawn Michaels, who happens to be from San Antonio, who I pretty much watched his entire fucking career. And I'm very excited for that. And hopefully won't get too teary-eyed during the speech, but very looking forward to the show, and I can't wait. And then hopefully tonight we will really be able to get down and party some more with the crew from the Wrestling Observer and all the other guys. And then as far as Sunday, of course, that's WrestleMania. And we're debating on what's going on. There is a Legends Fest
going on, and of course there is fucking Dragon's Gate, run by everyone's favorite shithead, Gabe Sapolsky. So I'm not sure if we're going to that. If anything, if I do go, it's just to make the team get drawn out. but don't worry, I won't break any laws or get arrested while doing it. But so who knows what we're doing for that. But then, of course, WrestleMania is all day long. And I'm actually very disappointed because there's a rumor going around that Bryan Danielson and Sheamus got bumped to the pre-match, which kind of sucks. But at least Bryan Danielson is still wrestling at WrestleMania, so that's still a plus. But I'm sure WrestleMania, while I'm not the greatest lineup of all time, I'm sure it'll be a great match. I'm sure it'll deliver on all fronts. And I'm sure the weekend will end just with a bang. And hopefully The Rock will have something happen to where he has to come back in the next WrestleMania and wrestle John Cena in Miami. And we can do all this again next year in Miami. So thanks again for listening. I'm sorry I don't have any co-hosts to give any thoughts right now. But, you know, like I say, I will try and get some little talk to people later and get some other stuff to add to the show. So thank you very much for taking the time to listen. And don't forget, always check out Over the Top Radio every Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. And I have told Craig that when trying to secure a guest, if they have to move the show, we have to move the show, that's fine. So we might be moving the show occasionally to try and work in more guests because, to be honest, Friday's not the perfect night for a wrestler to come on the show. So we'll see what we can do. If not, you know, we will always come back every week and just have fun and a good time. And then once again, thank everybody for coming. And shout out to my very good friend Barb for letting me use this as a voice recorder so I can actually do the show. So shout out to Barb, and I'll see you soon. And I'll talk to everyone later. Good day.
Hi, this is Ed from Over the Top Radio. I'm here with the producer of the ROH pay-per-views. I just want to see if he can give me his highlights of both nights and the lowlights of both nights.
I don't think we have any lowlights. I think we had some lighting issues, but that's live and learn. But I think the show was great. I think everyone got their money's worth. If you want high production values, you can buy WrestleMania at $65 in HD. If you want a lot of really great wrestling action, you know, $20, you get 6 hours, 6.5 hours of great wrestling. I'm just proud of everybody. I mean, Charlie and Shelton had the two best matches of the weekend. I haven't seen WrestleMania yet.
Yeah, they were pretty awesome. Other than the greatest tag team matches, what other matches did you enjoy?
There's so much. You know, I think everything, there wasn't anything bad. You know what I mean?
What did you think of the girls?
The girls were awesome. I'd never seen them before this weekend, so I thought they were awesome. And, you know, I think it's a style difference, which is needed in American women's wrestling. So.
Yeah, and I heard there were some problems with the internet speed. What was going on?
Just before the show, we had a router issue, but like most good computer issues, once you unplug the router and plug it back in, you're ready to rock. So we waited 5 minutes so everybody could get the stream properly. We're ready to rock. So we've had, you know, it's good that we're getting down and having great shows. If you had any stream issues, please contact me or the company, but I think we had a really good show.
You didn't have to kick any sound guy's ass or anything?
No, I like the sound guy. I don't have to kick his ass. So.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate the time. Any final thoughts?
Just enjoy the biggest WrestleMania wrestling weekend of the year.
Cool,
we kicked it up great.
Thank you.
Dave. Appreciate that. Have fun with the
whole thing. All right, this is Ed from Over the Top Radio. I'm here with the one of the announcers from ROH, Dave Frazak. Dave, what did you think of both shows?
It was a long weekend, but some very good shows. So, you know, people that watched on the Go Fight Live were able to see essentially about 6.5 hours of live wrestling on their computer, of the people that were here at Center Stage, and $20 to see two consecutive days of ROH. Compare that to what you have to spend to see one show tomorrow.
What did you think of the girls?
I think they did a great job. I was very happy. You know, finally, Japanese women's wrestling makes their way to Chicago, and Brian Alvarez is interrupting us now.
You know why? He's just jealous that I'm a better interviewer than he is.
All
right, man. Well, thanks a lot. Any final thoughts?
I can't wait to sleep. Maybe go drink.
Wait to sleep, man.
I'm going to go drinking and then sleep, and I'll maybe watch WrestleMania on Monday.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thanks. Okay.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I will be giving a review of the second ROH show from Atlanta, Georgia, WrestleMania weekend right now. And the first part in that show, as I said on the other show, was one of the best wrestling shows I've ever been to. This show was not as good as the first, but still better than 99% of other wrestling shows that you would go to. And just a really, really good show. This one featured or opened with the Kings of Wrestling with my buddy Claudio Castagnoli against the tag team of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. It was a good 10 to 12 minute match, and I don't know how to describe this match because it wasn't totally competitive back and forth, but Claudio and Hero didn't have O'Reilly and Cole just look fantastic, even though by the end the Kings came out very strong and dominant and got their heat back after losing their title the night before. Adam Cole and O'Reilly, you know, they're not very heavy. They're kind of small. But I swear to God, every time I see these fuckers, they put on one hell of a show and have some great matches. And, you know, big props to them. And, of course, the Kings are just the fucking best, dude. You know, they're the best tag team out there. They should be in the WWE, but it's their loss for not having them, I guess. Second match of the night was Colt Cabana against Squire Dave Taylor, who came out of retirement. And Dave Taylor, facially, looks freaking old, and I'm sure he is, but the dude was in fucking shape. I mean, he looked great, actually, and not a long match or anything, but he was nowhere close to being blown up. My man even has broken a sweat, and really fun match. I mean, a lot of mat wrestling, cabanas in there, so there's a lot of comedy spots. And just a real, real fun match. Taylor was out with the embassy, which means that fucking hot as hell Asian valet Mia was out there, and got plenty of pictures of her ass all over Facebook, as I'm sure some of you have are well aware of by now. And Cabana ended up winning, and Nana was kind of pissed off. And, you know, wasn't too happy about it, but the fans actually love Dave Taylor. He got a big thank you, Dave, chant, and a very well-deserved chant. He really came off very good here, and probably had more charisma than I ever seen him before. So that was pretty cool. So then the embassy, who was pissed off, they decided to introduce the guy for the next match, which was yesterday. I actually thought this was Eric Stevens, because the guy is pretty jacked up and has a mohawk, but it's actually Tomasa. I cannot say the goddamn last name. I just butchered that, so I'm sure a lot of you enjoyed that. And he wrestled Homicide, the notorious 187. And it was a pretty decent match. You know, I'm not the biggest Homicide fan, but he was working his ass off here. That was pretty cool. You know, Mia kept trying to, I think she actually tried to get involved before the actual end of the finish, because she jumped on the apron and jumped up, but nothing really happened. She jumped down, and a minute later, she was back up there doing the same thing. So might have been a miscommunication. Nana's great. Rodney really loves Nana. I think it's because Nana also, while being black, doesn't like other black people, and we all know how Rodney is, you know. So they had a good match, and surprisingly, Homicide actually even did a dive off the stage, where he was surrounded by a bunch of fans, and that was pretty cool. And surprisingly, he actually did the job and put over the young guy, and he was still over as hell after the match, so, you know, I don't think it hurt him at all. And then he teased beating the shit out of Mia post-match, which, had he done that, that would have caused me to get in the ring and fuck Homicide up very badly. But luckily for him, he did not do that. The next match was the little pit bull Michael Elgin, who's very short but just fucking solid and built like a tank, who came out with Truth Martini, and they wrestled Christopher Daniels. And Christopher Daniels, who kind of worked slightly heelish the night before, were total babyface against Elgin, and they had a good little match. Elgin is very passable at this point, I mean, which he hasn't even been around very long, so he's got a lot of potential. It's just his shortness might be held against him. But yeah, everyone knows Christopher Daniels is professional, and he knows how to make people look good. And just a real good match. You know, just this would probably be the closest to a WWE-style match in all of Ring of Honor. And a good match where Danielson beat Michael Elgin with the world's with the best moonsault ever. And I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or whatever. And then Intermission came out, and then they had an interview segment where Cornette called out Davey and was basically trying to start shit with Davey. Davey's trying not to say anything too bad, but, of course, that leads to Eddie taking it the wrong way and coming out. And while not actually getting into a fight or even into really an argument, they teased the dissension. So that was set up. The angle was set up for later in the show. And the next match featured the Asian girls who defeated Cielo Del Rey and Serena yesterday. And luckily, the crazy little psychopathic little girl who was screaming and yelling and trying to touch or scratch or get at Cielo Del Rey wasn't in the front row today. So no screaming. She wasn't annoying. So the real good match. It was the Asian girls from yesterday taking on Daisy Hayes and her Asian partner, and they are the Shimmer Tag Team Champions. And they had a really good match. Some people said this was better than the one from yesterday. I think the one from yesterday was a little better. This one, it almost looked like the Asian girls were going to get the win and take the titles because they did the two Misawa Exploder suplexes on Daisy Hayes, who took them a little better than Serena, but they were still pretty devastating. But they were actually able to pull out the win, and Daisy Hayes and her partner are still the Shimmer Tag Team Champions. And after the show, I got to take pictures with the Asian girls, so, of course, I was very happy. I was basically getting a hard-on just having my arms around them, so, yeah, they were pretty hot. And then the next match was fucking phenomenal, featuring the Briscoe brothers, who are in the midst of a heel turn themselves, and they took on the All Night Express, who I guess are in the process of a face turn, or I haven't really been watching the TV, but I think that's what's going on. And I got to say, it's probably the best move because, well, the All Night Express are a great team, Kenny Rogers, Rip Titus. They just weren't seen as being contenders. No one believed they had a chance against the Kings of Wrestling when they wrestled for the title. So, good match, but no one believed it. Well, this match was fucking fantastic. They had a big brawl yesterday, and today it was just a grudge match, and just one of the bloodiest matches I ever seen. First, Rip Titus was just had the Crimson Mask going. Then Jay Briscoe got busted open, and he bled like a spit pig. A what? God damn, I forgot what the fuck his name is. A split pig, I guess. A stuck pig. And they had this awesome thing where Rip was standing there bloody, Jay was bloody, and Jay was just punching and knocking the shit out of Rip, who, as everyone knows, Rip's always done like the little dancer routine, the Chippendale dancer, and not really a tough guy. Well, all I know is I don't know what the hell happened, but Rip Titus just showed this fucking fire within and went crazy and started kicking Jay's ass, and it was a back-and-forth match, just fantastic. And I thought the All Night Express was actually going to win, but the Briscoes were able to pull off the victory. And all I got to say is this got over the All Night Express pretty good. I mean, they showed a lot of fire as a babyface tag team, and maybe this will help them elevate them to the next level, hopefully, because they are, you know, two very young, talented guys, and, you know, hopefully this will work out. Okay, the next match featured El Generico, and he wrestled my other good buddy, Roderick Strong, and a real good match. You know, Generico, well, not the most, I don't know how to describe him. He just doesn't look overly impressive. But when he does wrestle, his matches almost are always either the show stealer or very close to it. And we all know Roddy's just fucking awesome. So they had their match, and a good match, real good match. And little JJ, Mr. Highlight Son, was heckling me and ridiculing me and calling Roddy my boyfriend and all kinds of other stuff, that little meanie. And then very highly enjoyed it when El Generico actually beat Roderick Strong. So he's lucky he didn't get punched in the face. But you know, I don't hit little kids, so I'll wait 2 years and then I'll punch him in the face. But after the match, the truth came out, and with Elgin, and they started to kick Generico's ass. and then Cabana made the save, but they overcame him, and then Christopher Daniels made the save, but it was actually a swerve, and he took the Book of Truth, and he hit Generico with it. Had a face-off with Roddy. I thought maybe they were going to switch places, but they ended up shaking hands, and they are part of the House of Truth together now. So I guess that's a cool angle. I mean, Christopher Daniels is, I actually think he's probably at his best when he is a heel, so that was really, really cool. And then the main event, which was a fantastic match, just absolutely fantastic. I'm not going to say it was as good as the World's Greatest Tag Team against the Kings of Wrestling, but very close to it, if not a tie. And Benjamin and Hoss, you know, they're just fantastic. And the Wolves were over as hell. And just a great match. I mean, but one thing I will say about this match that I noticed is Davey Richards is one of the stiffest looking. I can't say he is because I've never been in the ring with the dude, but he looks like he kills people. Like, he's the stiffest wrestler you will ever see. Well, I've never seen Davey Richards work so light in my life. You know, he was showing a lot of respect to Benjamin and Hoss, and while he still made his stuff look good, we were like third row right there. You could tell he was not taking advantage or being a dick or in any way, and was total professional. And like I say, I've never seen him work so light. And but just a great back and forth match, and just a lot of awesome double teams and a lot of awesome moves. And finally, I think one of the guys, one of the greatest tag team had, I think he had, Eddie, I'm not too sure what happened. But basically what happened is one of the world's greatest tag team kicked Eddie off of them. He bumped into Davey. Eddie flew out of the ring. Davey ended up getting pinned. And the world's greatest tag team retained. The two teams shaked hands, but then you could tell Davey was pissed and wasn't very happy. Eddie's trying to be cool. Davey's not really having it, but he's not attacking him. But basically the seeds are set to know that basically at the next big show, Davey Richards takes on his former apprentice and tag team partner, Eddie Edwards, in a great, which will be an awesome match, by the way. So that was actually pretty cool. After the show, I got a quick interview with Madonna, and you'll probably end up hearing that before this, when this is all put together. But cool little interview. He took the time right after the show when they're trying to get shit done. And then in the hall, I ran into Dave Prazak, and I got a few minutes with Dave Prazak. Unfortunately, there was a psychopathic little midget who's very jealous that I'm a better interviewer than him and was heckling us over very loudly over the voice recorder. So, yeah, Brian Alice is just jealous that I'm a better interviewer. But, you know, who can blame him? You know, he's just very insecure. So, after that's when I took the pictures with the Asian girls. And then after that, not too much really happened here until we went to the WWE Hall of Fame. And one of the most enjoyable Hall of Fames I've been to, I mean, the one in Houston was great, but we all know about the fucking time limits. Well, some of the guys, I guess, might have had somewhat time limits, but some of the guys just talked forever. I mean, it was a fantastic show. Let me see if I can remember this without looking it up. Basically, the Million Dollar Man came out, and he was pretty fun, and he was acting like he was going to have money rain down from the ceiling, which everyone got happy, and then he just made it. It was just to where he proved his point that everybody's got a price. So he did a good intro for Hacksaw. Hacksaw came out, got a great speech. I mean, really good. I mean, Hacksaw came off really, really good, talking about all his history, even talking about being in San Antonio. And I think that's where he went to the name Hacksaw. And just really good, really good. We get excited at the point, you know, plenty of holes and plenty of USA. And, you know, just Duggan being Duggan is basically what it was. And, you know, of course, that's a good thing. The next induction, well, I'm not even going to go in order here. So I don't know if it's in order. So the next one was Bullet Bob Armstrong. And he was inducted by his three of his four sons. I believe it was the Road Dog, and it was Scott, and it was Brad. And I actually didn't know it was Brad because it didn't look anything like Brad. I guess he has short hair now. And Road Dogg was actually the only one who talked, and of course he pretty much did all his catchphrases and did the intro for his dad. He actually lost his place and for a few seconds there was some awkwardness, but it actually came out pretty funny, I thought, and pretty good. And then Bullet Bob came out, and he got a good little amount of time. Just a great interview. That's one thing Bob's always been, is just a great interview. And he talked about watching Gorgeous George for the first time live and stuff like that. And just a real good induction. Plenty of time for him, so that was cool. Then we had the hometown guy, Abdullah the Butcher. And he was inducted by Terry Funk. And Terry Funk got 5 times more time to introduce Abdullah Butcher than he and his brother combined got for when they were inducted into the Hall of Fame. So that should tell you about this Hall of Fame compared to other Hall of Fames. And Terry Funk had stole the show up until this point. He was talking about how Abdullah forked him in Tokyo, forked him in Shanghai, forked him there, forked him there, forked him all the way to Texas, and a bunch of other crazy shit, and said that he would gladly have married Abdullah the Butcher because Abby made him a lot of money. So, good induction. Abdullah came out, and he had to walk with a cane and walk very slowly, but he came out with his trusty old fork, and he did maybe a 2-minute speech, just not even in character, which is very different from Abdullah, and, you know, thanked his family, most of which, unfortunately, aren't with us, and he thanked the ones that were there, and kept it very short, very brief, and waved his fork again and took off. So that was cool. Then came the original diva, as they say, Sunny. And she was inducted by pretty much all the divas came out, and they were like in a circle, but Late Cool was the ones that did the intro, and they did it totally in character, doing all their little catchphrases, and was not as bad as people were saying. Well, at least Layla wasn't. Layla was good. But, you know, nothing spectacular. Probably the weakest intro of them all. And they inducted Sunny, who went on for quite a bit. Got one mention of Chris Candido in there, which was cool. And she pretty much got even references to Jim Cornette and Smokey Mountain Wrestling. They weren't supposed to say wrestling, but they were trying all their heart to say wrestling during the show. And basically, Sunny's fucking hot as shit. She still looks good. And if you saw the introduction speech, you know that Sunny is trying to get a job. So very, very, very clearly was auditioning for the WWE to take her back after all this time. And she went on for quite a bit. And it was good. I mean, you know, not as good as Terry Funk, but she was really good. And then you had Dusty Rhodes, who was really, really, really good. I don't think he was good as Funk, but Dusty was really good. And he inducted the Road Warriors, which was, they actually inducted Hawk and Animal and Paul Ellering. I guess they inducted Paul Ellering because they just didn't want to bring Animal by himself. So they came out, and they must have gone half an hour. And they would take turns talking. Basically, Ellering would say something brief, and made no sense at all, but seemed very appropriate for this time. And then Animal, you know, he told some Dusty stories and a lot of stories and put a lot of people over. And then they actually brought out a little Hawk doll, and then they talked about Hawk and all the cool things about Hawk, and talked about, you know, being the greatest tag team of all. And, you know, like I say, 30 minutes, they talked about a lot of stuff, and they were really good. A lot of LOD chants. And you know, they ended the show by saying, "Oh," and very good. Right? It was awesome. So it was really cool seeing the Warriors, especially in Georgia. You know, that's where I saw the Warriors for the first time, Georgia Championship Wrestling. And anything Georgia Championship Wrestling related got a big pop throughout the night. And then was the thing that everybody's in enough for, the induction into the celebrity wing of Drew Carey. And basically, the whole video package was just about the Royal Rumble. And basically, I don't know what the hell happened, because I thought Bob Barker was supposed to be doing the inductions, but it actually was Kane. Kane came out in the suit, and Kane was actually pretty damn funny, you know. He was surprisingly better than you would think he would be. And then he inducted Drew, who was hated. I mean, people hated Drew. But he's pretty smart, you know. He improvised and at first was kind of egging the crowd to kind of boo a little more, but then he was real politically smart and put over the boys and put over the wrestling, and I guess the fans appreciated that, and he was cheered by the end of it, you know. So good job, Drew Carey, and, you know, we all know why they did it, so publicity. So it is what it is, as they say. And then came the introducer of Shawn Michaels, which was Triple H, who we all know how I feel about Triple H. He's not my favorite person in the whole world. I think he's kind of a fucking asshole. But I got to say, he stole the fucking show. He turned the Hall of Fame into a roast of Shawn Michaels, making fun of Shawn Michaels' fashion sense. His funny walk, which was hilarious because he did it. And then he also made fun of his balding hair and told him he's joining, or just accept the fact that he's joining the Hulk Hogan balding club or something to that effect. And then he even makes fun of his googly eye. And even crossed his eyes and talked about how Sean loves to go hunting now because now he can shoot a squirrel with one eye and shoot a duck with another one. And he was fucking awesome. He was really, really awesome. And then Sean came out, and Sean went a long time, and he's trying to act like he wasn't going to go a long time because he said he didn't want to be a bad guy, which caused everyone to start going, woo, because Ric Flair was in the sixth row, unlike Brian Alvarez said that he said he didn't see Ric Flair. By the way, if you listen to the Wrestling Observer Radio from last night, forget everything Brian Alvarez says. He's fucking, I don't know what the hell's wrong with him. He was up in the cheap seat, so he couldn't see shit, but he had no idea Ric Flair was right there for everybody to see him, and everybody was going crazy when he came out. Everybody knew exactly where he was. And among a lot of other things, Brian Alvarez got wrong about the Hall of Fame show. I don't get it. And so Sean came out, and I think he just totally improvised the whole thing because he was talking like he didn't want to do a speech or say this or that. So he came out and did a good thing, thanked his family, thanked a lot of the guys, and just was really, really awesome. And went on for a long, long time, like I say. And then at the end, Hunter came back out, and they hugged again, and they were hugging, and then they struck the pose. And then the next thing you know, it's somewhat of a click reunion as Sean Waltman and Kevin Nash came out dressed in suits. And, of course, Nash had his hair dyed black. And they all hugged and hugged, like kind of like the curtain call, just with Waltman there instead of Scott Hall, because Scott Hall didn't show up because he was afraid that if he showed up, he'd end up drinking and getting drunk, and we all know about his issues. So it ended basically with the clique in the ring celebrating, and just a really good Hall of Fame. It lasted a long time, and but it was really good. It was really worth it. I'm not going to say this nowhere near as funny as it was, but one of the highlights of the night was this middle-aged black lady who was sitting in front of us by herself, who was a big John Cena fan. First, there were some guys, you know, bullying Cena, heckling Cena, and she just looked with this disdain look up at them. And then a few minutes later, they did it again, and this lady just stood up and said, "John Cena rules, thank you very much," with a disgusting look on her face. And I know it doesn't sound funny at all, but if you were there, you would have laughed your ass off, because the way she just did it fucking awesomely. And then after that, not too much happened. Went and had a couple drinks with Rodney and Pete and Doc G. And even Logan Train Traveler showed up, and he actually had his hair going out, so it looked kind of different. And, of course, he had the Mark Wynn printout of Mark Wynn's avatar. So expect to see a picture of me with Gordy Wilson on the board at some point. So that was cool. Not too much happened. I could tell a funny story about Rodney, but I'll be nice. I'll just say Rodney don't have no game. That's all I'm going to say. And let's see, what else happened? I'm trying to think if I missed anything. No, I don't think I missed much at all. That was the majority of everything. Of course, today is WrestleMania, so hopefully I'll have some more to talk about tomorrow. I have to get some more batteries for this thing. It's almost just like it wants to die. and I'm just glad I made it through this show. And I'll try and talk to a few people today. Just never really worked. I forgot to take the recorder the first night, and it never really worked out for more than either Prazak or Lagani yesterday. But if anything, I'll talk to more board members. One last thing is on the board, Sinbad was talking about how his goal at WrestleMania was to give me a hug, and my goal was to punch him in the face as he did. Well, before he did, and we were outside the Hall of Fame just waiting for everyone to meet, and I'm talking to somebody, and the next thing I know, there is a chubby Miz lookalike who is hugging me. So that bastard got his hug in, and I was nice enough not to punch him in the face. But, yeah, so Sinbad got his hug. So I hope you're happy now, Sinbad. But I'll go ahead and end the show right now. I apologize for not putting the plug in yesterday. Everyone check out AngryMarch.com. Well, I don't know why I have to do the plug, because I guess you're only going to hear this show on AngryMarch.com. So, but anyway, check out AngryMarch.com, and maybe I'll get another update or two in before the Mania weekend is over. So, once again, day two was fucking awesome. Hoping I can run into the Peach Machine sometime today. I didn't get to see him yesterday, but hopefully I'll run into him today, and hopefully I'll get to meet some other people, and I can't wait, because I think there's like somewhere between 40 to 70, I have no idea what the number is, I didn't count, but basically all of the Empire is sitting in the same section, and we basically got like two or three or four rows all to ourselves, so that should be a fun time. It's like I got sitting with Rodney, and then I got Sinbad to the left or to the right, and then I got Chris to the other side, and Doc G will be right there, and then Max Eric Ferry is over here, and Joe Billy will be right there, and the cancer will be over here, and it can't be anything but a good time. It'll be cool. Well, you know, either be cool or bad, because I hate sitting with the marks at wrestling shows, but then again, everyone on the board is pretty much a mark, so it could be the same thing over and over again. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm sure Mania will be a good time. So I'll talk to everybody then. You all have a good time. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, I'm here with Brian Alvarez. He's going to give us his thoughts on WrestleMania.
I can't walk 10 feet without Ed trying to interview somebody against their will.
I did not want anyone to do an interview.
All I'll say is I had a really fun time at WrestleMania, and apparently I enjoyed it a lot more than a lot of the people that watched at home.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the feedback has not been positive.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll just say that the Undertaker-Triple H match was awesome.
Give me the star rating.
You're going to have to buy the newsletter for that, everybody. WrestlingObserver.com to get the star rating of Undertaker-Triple H.
Have you talked to Dave?
There will be great controversy, I'll just say that.
Have you heard from Dave?
Yeah.
What did Dave do?
He did a show tonight. He thought the match was awesome, but he also noted that he liked the show better than the feedback indicated.
Did you think they got the wrong lineup? Do you think
Oh, yeah. But you can't be mad at the lineup, because you never know going in what's going to happen. Like, if you would have looked at this going in, Undertaker is all fucked up, his shoulder's shot, he came back too early, he hasn't had a match since the fall. Undertaker's had, like, four matches since last year, and how many people know they're going to go in and have a match that good? I would not have expected them to have a match. I thought they would have a decent and maybe a pretty good match, maybe even a really good match. I did not expect them to have a match this good. And when you look at the John Cena Rock stuff going in, nobody would have imagined it would have been as flat as it came across. So you can't, anybody mad at the match order, you can't get mad in hindsight. Because going in, like, if you would have asked everybody going in today what should go on last, everybody said Cena Rock when they go on last. Did you hear anybody that said otherwise?
No.
I didn't hear anybody that said otherwise. So they made what they thought was the right decision, and what most people thought was the right decision. And it ended up being the wrong one, and there's nothing you can do about that hindsight. So I'm fine with it. It was the wrong match to finish, but...
All right, one last question. Explain to the rest of the members why they should come out to either one of these WrestleMania trips or one of the Vegas trips.
These trips are so awesome. Just ask Ed. Look at him. He's like a kid in a candy store. And he's like this for all these big trips. Next year's Mania is going to be the best get-together of all time. We've got people working on hotels on the beach, and it's going to be awesome in Miami. So if you miss this, you're not awesome like The Miz. He's not awesome either, bud.
Well, cool, Brian. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, hello and welcome to another special edition of Over the Top Radio WrestleMania Review. The weekend has finally come to a close. It's Monday morning. I've had three incredible days in Atlanta, Georgia. Real quick thought on Georgia. The hotel is awesome. Didn't really meet any rude people whatsoever, but it's very hard to get around here in Atlanta. It's very complicated, very confusing, and driving around sucks, and even the train wasn't really all that great. So only negative to the weekend driving around. But other than that, Atlanta was fine. The Georgia Dome was fantastic. Center stage was just, it was just an honor to be in that little crappy building. And, you know, the Hall of Fame, we didn't have the best tickets because we had a real side view. You saw my pictures, you saw that, but that was, you know, that building was okay. But let's get to the main thing here. We're talking WrestleMania. We're talking WrestleMania 27. This is my fourth WrestleMania that I've been to. And I don't know if I can say it was the best one, and I don't think I can say it was the worst one, but it's WrestleMania. It's I heard that a lot of people didn't enjoy this show on TV for some reason. Maybe it didn't come off well for you. I don't know why, but being there live, you know, it was fantastic. You know, the crowd was insane. 71,600 and something people there. It was just a fantastic atmosphere. We basically had an entire row. We had almost half a row in front of us and half a row behind us. All Empire members. Just fantastic. There had to be like 40 of us. And it was just, I guess that might have added to our enjoyment. You know, I can't name everyone there. I'm sorry. I'll just name a few people. Sinbad, Errol Score, Alex Goff, the one boarder from Chile, Brian Whitney, Craig, Matt Clary, Doc G from Canada, of course, Rodney, and just Klitz and his crew, and, you know, just, I'm sorry, I apologize to everybody else. Kenny75, he wasn't with us, but he was there. I apologize to everyone that I'm forgetting. I really am. But maybe it'll come back to me before we do our real show on Friday. But let's get to the matches here. First match, well, actually, the opening match did kind of somewhat upset me because they bumped the Diane Daniel Sheamus match to the pre-show because I'm really not sure why. I guess they needed some extra time. They really should have took time away from Cole and Lawler and put this match on the WrestleMania, and Brian Danielson could have got himself the pay-per-view bonus besides the WrestleMania bonus. Anyway, the match started off pretty good. It was a good little match like you expect from these two. You know, they did change it to a battle royal so they could get everybody on the card. So everybody was out there, you know, all the usual suspects that really don't get on TV too much, you know, the guys. Zack Ryder was in there, and I got to say, Chris's friends were the biggest Zack Ryder marks in the world, and that was actually pretty entertaining, but the lumberjack started fighting everywhere, and Teddy Long came out and did his Teddy Long little dance, and he turned it into the WrestleMania Battle Royal. And I knew it would come down to Sheamus and Bryan Danielson, and after a very long Battle Royal, it came down to Sheamus and Bryan Danielson, with one little exception. The Great Khali was still in the ring. And then when it came down to the three, Sheamus and Danielson were fighting on the edge, on the apron outside. Sheamus eliminated Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, I should say. And then Sheamus was eliminated by the Great Khali. And it's funny because exactly 10 years ago today, the Iron Sheik won the Battle Royal because he couldn't safely be eliminated from the Battle Royal. And Khali might have been under the same conditions. You never know, Khali. He could barely walk. So Khali won. I guess they wanted to get the laugh or something out of the people or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, one last fucky from Kevin Dunn to Sheamus. But it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't bad at all. And then the show started, and I love the stage. The stage was awesome. It was this giant screen behind where they came out, and everybody had like these giant like screens that represented them. Like Ray had like basically the part of his mask where his eyes are showing, and it just changed different masks and different stuff. And they had this cube, a cube that was above the ring, and it had like parts of the video, like video footage and stuff, and it looks like super, super cool. I got a cool photo of it. Unfortunately, my phone died very early. I was having phone problems all weekend. Well, not really problems, just the fact that everything, I just went crazy taking pictures and updating, and, you know, just my battery doesn't last that long, unfortunately. So I had to stop halfway. But the first match was, by the way, Michael Cole was broadcasting from the coal mine again, which was pretty funny. And the first match of the show was Edge. They started with the world title, which there are people on Facebook who are upset with that. There's a lot of matches on the show, and you have to space them out differently. You know what I mean? You can't put everything at the very end. And I have no problem with this match being on first. And it was a very good match. I thought they did a fantastic thing. They had Bonus Clay on the outside. They had Christian on the outside. And of course, there's like some interference. Rodriguez interfered. Christian went after him. Bonus trying to attack Christian. Christian ended up turning the tables on Brodus. Brodus slammed Christian. Real back and forth match. The whole match, story of the match is Del Rio working the arm of Edge. And he pretty much had it, but Edge was able to break out of the arm bar. And then the match ended when he hit a spear and he pinned Del Rio, which was by a lot of people, I think, were expecting Del Rio to win the world title. But, you know, the WWE, they start to bring you up, and then they bring you back down right when you think you're getting there. So maybe they're just testing him like always or something, but very good match. I will say, when Edge was leaving, he decided to stop and beat up Del Rio's car, which they probably could have done without. I think I just wasted a little time. I mean, it's not like they blew the car up or set it on fire or anything. But, good match. Even though the little angle at the end wasn't that great. But it keeps the feud alive. It keeps the feud alive, and hopefully Del Rio will get his title reign eventually. I think they're high on the guy, and he's got talent, so hopefully it'll happen. Second match was Rey Mysterio, who was cheered by 71,600 and something fans. And then you had Cody Rhodes, the former Mr. Dashing, who had one fan cheering for him and one fan only. And that fan, of course, was my co-host, Tim Bat, who either peed his pants or came all over his pants or something, because that motherfucker was one happy motherfucker when this match was over. Now, this was actually a very long match, too, and I loved Rey's costume. He was a combination of Captain America, Captain Mexico. Just a cool, cool costume. I really liked the costume. And they had a great back-and-forth match, and the whole time, Shinsuke was like, I think he's going to win. Just hanging on to that last shiver of hope for his boy, Cody, to win. And no one believed he could win. And Ray even stole Cody's mask and was using it against Cody. But early in the match, Cody ripped off Ray's knee brace. And Cody even survived the 619. And he was thrown out of the ring. And he grabbed the knee brace, and Ray came running at him. He whacked Ray with the knee brace and got in the ring and pulled off maybe one of the biggest upsets in WrestleMania history. And Cody Rhodes won at WrestleMania over Rey Mysterio Jr. And like I say, Sinbad was one very happy man. A very good match. Then they did a skit with Snoop Dogg, who was live backstage. And people didn't seem to enjoy this, but when you have William Regal rapping, it's a greatness regardless of what else happens. And then when you have the great Khali and Beth Phoenix do John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John in Grease, it gets even better. And then when Zack Ryder comes out and starts singing and Roddy Piper kicks his ass with a coconut, it gets better. And then when Chris Masters and Yoshitatsu come out and they sing Rock You, We Will Rock You, while Masters' pecs are bouncing to the music,
that is one of the greatest things I have ever seen. And then Hornswoggle came out and rapped with my girl the Bellas, and it was a great, I guess instead of the dance party, this is what they had, and I highly enjoyed the skit. Everyone seemed to laugh their ass off. The next match was the Core against the Big Show, Kane, Kofi Kingston, and Santino Marella. And this basically was a 90-second squash match. Basically, Marella used the Cobra, and then Show hit the KO punch, and the match was over. I wouldn't even know if Kofi got in the ring. In fact, I just remember I was texting about who was in the match, and I look up, I see the Cobra, and it's pretty much over. And then they did a skit backstage where The Rock was telling Eve Torres that he's going to make the next woman forget a moment for the next person who walks around the corner, and it was the old Mae Young who wanted The Rock strudel, but The Rock didn't want to give him his strudel. So he was able to get Mae to take off, but not after Mae caught the fill on The Rock's ass. And then The Rock turned around, and who was there but Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Stone Cold and The Rock glared, and then they said, "How you doing?" and "Nice to see you," and "Good luck," and It was very cool. It was very cool. I loved it. The next match was Randy Orton versus CM Punk. And the story of this match is, of course, Randy's lady's knee is fucked up. And these guys had a great match with Punk pretty much dominating the majority of the match. And that one time, he hit the draping DDT and he went for the knockout kick, the KO kick, or whatever the fuck it's called. And his knee gave out and he collapsed. And Punk smiled, his sinister smile. And then he went to get Randy. And Randy went for the RKO, but Punk got away. And then Punk went up top, and he tried to come down on Orton, and he got RKO'd for the pin. And I thought this match was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. Then they did another skit backstage with The Rock and Mean Gene. And I forgot exactly what The Rock was asking and what Mean Gene said. Maybe it was Cena's biggest fan was there, and when he turned around, there was Pee Wee Herman doing the "You Can't See Me," and then The Rock was able to switch Pee Wee Herman from Team Cena, Tarza Cena Nation, to Team Brent, and it was okay, nothing super great, but it was all right. Then they brought out all the inductees. They came out for a few minutes. You know, nothing too stupid. It wasn't like the one with Stone Cold, where Stone Cold came down to celebrate it after they introduced him. It was very, very kept short, actually. Kind of rushed almost. I don't think it was disrespectful, but, you know, they were out there. And then he had what was probably the biggest build up, or the best build up to the show. You had Jerry the King Lawler versus Michael Cole with Stone Cold Steve Austin out there. And Michael Cole is fucking great as a heel manager. He came out with amateur gear and a head, does amateur wrestling headgear. And, you know, he got in the ring. Swagger came out. After Swagger was almost halfway to the ring, started doing push-ups, and then the glass broke. And then Stone Cold came down in a little four-wheeler and circled the ring when Michael Cole ran into the coal mine and was refusing to come out. And then the king came out. And basically, the story of this match is it started off great. It went to shit. And it finished really good. They big-ate Michael Cole way too much offense. Way, way too much offense. He got way too much heat on Jerry Lawler. It just didn't look good. I'm sorry, but Cole's a great character, but he can't work. It's not his fault. It's not his fault at all. But, you know, it just didn't work. But basically, Lawler got the pin, and so him and Austin were celebrating, drinking beer. Well, actually, never saw Jerry drink a beer, but Austin was drinking beer, and Lawler had some beers. And then Booker T, who was helping to call the match, was the one and only JR. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that JR came out to call this match, which I'm very looking forward to getting a copy of this so I can hear JR call WrestleMania one more time, if it's the last time. And so Booker T came in the ring, and he did the spinneroonie, and Everyone's going crazy, and then Austin gave him a beer. They toasted. Flipper took a big swig, took a knee to the gut, stunner, and spit the beer all out, and place went crazy. And Lawler and Stone Cold celebrated some more, and then the general manager dinged in. And they disqualified Lawler. Josh Matthews had to read the thing, and Josh had to iterate what the manager said. So Lawler grabbed him, threw him in the ring, and Josh Matthews took a stunner, and he was out. So basically that meant that the only announcers available, by the way, the GM announced Michael Cole the winner, so I guess this sets up another match. Hopefully they'll work out the kinks and make this and make it a little better. So basically, there was an opening at the announce table, so Jerry Lawler came out and sat down with his good friend JR, and the legendary team of Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler were back together, which, like I said, I can't wait to hear. Can't wait to hear it at all. And the next match was, and some people probably get pissed because that meant Smithy was higher on the card, but you have to have a buffer. And people are going to say this match should have gotten all last. But the thing is, you know, you were listening to this show, you knew that this match shouldn't go on last because The Undertaker's had four matches this year. Triple H has hardly wrestled this year. No one knew what condition they were in. They were both hurt. They're both beat up. They're both coming off injuries. There's no way this match should have gone on last when you thought about it. But the thing is, this match should have gone on last. Excuse me. I really got into this match. This match made me get into WrestleMania. This match, I was a little kid. Basically, the story of this match is they started off brawling. They broke the coal mine. They broke cables. They broke steps. They fought each other back and forth, each taking their turn. And then came the point where the Triple H took the advantage and worked the Undertaker over like never before. He hit a pedigree. Undertaker kicked out. He hit another pedigree. Undertaker came out. He continued to destroy the Undertaker. And every time he did, I just had this, I don't know how to describe it, how I must have looked like a geek, how into this match I was. I could almost barely look at it. I had my hands almost close to my eyes to where if I needed to cover it, I had to. And then came the moment where Triple H picked up the Undertaker in the tombstone position and delivered the tombstone. And everyone stood up. And I thought to myself, could he really win? He's actually did it. He's actually had himself booked in the streak. And then the ref counted one. And then the ref counted two. And right before they hit the three, the Undertaker kicked out. And Ed in San Antonio marked out like a little bitch. I'm sure everyone around me freaked out. I know Aeroscorp, who was sitting right in front of me, I look at me in amazement of how into this match I got, that spot I was into. They got me. They literally got me. And I don't get got very much, not at this age, not after I've been watching wrestling for this long, but they got me. And then Triple H continued to beat up The Undertaker. He continued to destroy him with chairs. He killed The Undertaker. Undertaker refused to stop fighting. He refused. He kept going. He kept going. And then Triple H went for the sledgehammer. And everyone thought, well, this is probably it for good. And then The Undertaker grabbed the omoplata. And he started to choke out Triple H. And Triple H fought it and fought it and fought it. And when it looked like he was going down, he reached over and he grabbed the sledgehammer. And everyone expected him to lay the sledgehammer down upside the Undertaker's head. And he picked it up. And I'm figuring this match, he's going to hit the Undertaker. But he got weak. And he dropped the hammer. And if he fought a little more, and he fought a little more, and then Triple H tapped out. He tapped out, and the streak continues. It was one hell of a match. I highly enjoyed it. It was incredible. They both laid there. Triple H slowly making his way up. The Undertaker unable to. Attendants came to help The Undertaker.
Triple H made it to his feet, and he just watched as The Undertaker just crawled and fell to the floor because he couldn't get up. Triple H slowly made his way beat up to the back, just looking at basically them bringing in a cart to pick up The Undertaker and put The Undertaker in, because The Undertaker fought with everything he had. He left it in the ring. And basically, this is one of the best WrestleMania matches I've ever seen. Was it the best technical wrestling? No. Was it the best story going in? No. But what it was two old professionals who knew what they were doing. And like I can say, I don't know about you, but they got me. And I love this match. Then, of course, you needed a buffer. So what was the buffer? The buffer was Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool, along with Vicky, against John Morrison and Trish Stratus. And, of course, the one and only Snooki from the Jersey Shore. Now, a lot of people don't like Snooki, but I like the Jersey Shore, and I like Snooki. And I love to fuck Snooki one day, that's for goddamn sure. And this was a quick match. It was mainly Trish against Michelle McCool. You know, and Trish looked good, and Trish looked really good, actually. Trish looked fantastic. And then I think Morrison drew out Ziggler, and then he hit the Starship Pain to the outside, and that was a great move. And then Trish made the hot tag to Snooki, who stood up, and as Michelle McCool was in the corner, she went and cartwheeled and backflipped, and then flew into all our great mood of style. She flew into Michelle McCool and took her out, and then she went against the ropes, and she did a cartwheel and into a Snooki slash. And if it was anybody else, I would have said it was horrible, but since it was Snooki, it was just fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. So Snooki got her WrestleMania match, she got her WrestleMania victory, and it was a cool spot. And then the main event came out, and the main event, just like in Houston, did not follow the Undertaker match from before. And the match started off, the Miz's entrance was actually fantastic. The video package was my God, it was great. It was fucking great. And then a choir came out. For some reason, John Cena decided to have the worst entrances in of all of wrestling, at WrestleMania, of all places. And basically, I guess he had a local choir, and they sang. Nothing much into it. Then they showed his package, which was good, not as good as The Miz, and then more Cena, and then finally Cena ran to the ring. And the match actually was a little slow. It really didn't have too much heat. I guess everybody was spent. It's been a long weekend. We've seen a lot of wrestling. But it slowly got better. It slowly got better as the match went on and went on. And then they fought outside. And then they both took a bump, kind of, as Cena clotheslined The Miz over a railing. And then the count started. And somehow the count got to 10. And the referee rang for the bell. And it was announced that the main event for WrestleMania was a double countout and a draw, and Miz retained the title. And a few people started to leave. Why? Because they're fucking idiots. Like, they're going to end WrestleMania like that. Come on, people. Don't be fucking stupid. Then The Rock came out, and The Rock cut another promo. I forgot he did cut a promo in the beginning of the show, which I think some people didn't think came out very well, but I thought it came out fantastic, because The Rock is pure greatness and will always be. So The Rock came to the ring, and he started to make an announcement. And then there was a ding. The anonymous general manager was dinging in. So The Rock went to the podium. He cut off JR and the King from trying to read the email. The Rock went to the laptop. He picked it up. He said that there was an email from the anonymous general manager. He said, and I quote, and I quote. And then the general manager says, that the match is going to, I forgot exactly what he says, and then The Rock says, it doesn't matter what you think, and threw that laptop to the floor, and he got in the ring, and he demanded that this match continue. So Cena threw The Miz back in the ring. I forgot what exactly he did to The Miz, but he turned around and got rocked bottom, and the place went crazy, because Cena was very hated in his building. I mean, he still had his fans, but he was more hated than he was loved. So Miz covered John Cena,
and the pin was made, and The Miz retained the world title, and The Rock started to leave, and he got about 10 feet, and he stopped, and he looked at The Miz, and he hurt the people, and he got back in the ring, and he kicked Miz's ass and delivered the people's elbow, and the place went crazy, and the WrestleMania ended with the one and only Rock upstaging both guys, and basically guaranteeing, well, I hope guaranteeing, that next year in Miami, where I will be, that the main event hopefully will be The Rock versus John Cena. And I can't wait. You know, I met a lot of great people this trip, and I can't wait to meet most of you guys next year again. And I can't wait to meet new people next year. That's one thing about these trips. You know, some of you might not understand this. What's the enjoyment of going somewhere and meeting somebody you don't know just because you might post on the same message board as them? But there's one thing about the F4W Empire, Wrestling Observer. It's a family. Some of my best friends I've met because of the Empire, and I've met because of these get-togethers. In fact, I consider four of these guys my brothers. You know, I won't say who to make other people jealous, but I have friends and I have brothers from the Empire. And I think that everyone at some point or another, you need to come to WrestleMania or you need to come to Vegas. And you need to be part of the group. You know, it's just a great time with a lot of great people. So my WrestleMania weekend is a total thumbs up. And my WrestleMania moment, you know, I had thought about it over the weekend. And there were a lot of things that qualified. There were a lot of things that are memorable that I remember for my life. But that one moment for me was when The Undertaker kicked out of the Tombstone from Triple H. That was my WrestleMania moment, and I will never forget it. So thank you for taking the time to listen to my shows. Thank you if you commented on my Facebook posts, if you saw my Facebook photos. You know, I appreciate it very much, and thank you all very much for any interest and time that you took to listen to my show or our shows. You know, I've been doing this by myself, but yeah, I don't do over the top radio by myself. You know, I am the star, but I don't do it by myself. I want to thank David Lagana for taking time right after the pay per view to talk to me. I want to thank a very tired Dave Prezak who talked to me right after the show. I want to thank Brian Alvarez for taking a few minutes to talk to me, even though he sabotaged my Dave Prezak interview. And I just basically want to thank every single person who I met for a good time. And thank you very much. And I may be recording another little show with DVJ and get a quick thoughts on with him. But we will be back next week. I don't know if we'll have a guest. I don't know what's going on, but we will have stuff to talk about. So thank you again, and I will see you guys very soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.